Good afternoon. I'm Ryan Baker. The college football playoff semifinals are set. It'll be Miami and Ole Miss in the Fiesta Bowl next Thursday and the rematch between Indiana and Oregon in the Peach Bowl a week from today. Unfortunately, that means no Ohio State this year after their loss in the Cotton Bowl. What it does mean is the offseason is here for the Buckeyes, and 11 scholarship players have entered the transfer portal leaving Ohio State. The Buckeyes have set up visits with a couple of players, including Pitt linebacker and Pickerington Central grad Rasheem Biles. For the first time in 10 days, the Ohio State men's basketball team is back in action when they head to Rutgers at 8 tonight. The Fan warm-up show gets underway at 7 p.m. with Brandon Beam right here on The Fan. Columbus Blue Jackets defenseman Zach Werenski was named to Team USA this morning for the upcoming Winter Olympics. Werenski is expected to return to the lineup when the Jackets host the Buffalo Sabres right here on The Fan tomorrow at 3.
It's time to add some spice to your nooner. Nooner. Funny. This is the place where big-time guests, bold opinions, and little cute doggies come together. This is Rothman and Ice.
Sponsored by Pella Columbus, the number one rated windows and doors in Columbus.
So where's the office back at Division?
In the office, baby. Going out.
And here we go. Welcome in to another edition of Rothman and Ice. I'm Matty Ice. TLC's on the board doing his thing per usual. And to my right, ladies and gentlemen, the one and only Grey Cup MVP, former Buckeye wide receiver Devere Posey back in the building. Depot, happy Friday. How you feeling, big dog? You good?
Man, what's up, man? It's my first time seeing you this year.
Yeah, absolutely. Welcome to 2026. Yeah. Happy New Year, man.
And look, for the record, I know we didn't get to talk about it.
Yeah.
Because I know we were deep in the French fries last year.
Oh, yeah.
So I was able to crack open a, we shot to Canada recently. And so I got some Canadian chocolate bars. I just think they have some good candy up there.
Okay, yeah.
And so, you know, I gave up candy for 2025. Mm-hmm. And for a good reason, right? Like, for some reason, my dentist visits were, like, abnormally high this year. And it's like, imagine if I was eating candy. And so, bro, great year to give up candy. Made it to the end of the year, and I had cracked New Year's open with a nice...
How good was it?
It didn't taste that good.
Really?
Mm-mm. So I feel like I could taste, like, the processedness and all of the candy. Mm-hmm. It just, like, felt real, like, coaty on my teeth.
Interesting.
As an adult without like chewing candy, like unconsciously. Yeah, I'm sorry, you know, just going in the store, grabbing a piece, being like, oh, I just got some Skittles. Yeah. I always keep some Skittles or some Tic Tacs in my cup holder.
So the palate has completely changed.
Bro, it's just it's just not feeling
fruity. Not hitting the same. That's interesting because when I made it to the finish line last year and I got to get to those fresh batch of French fries for the first time,
mm-hmm.
I was chewing with my eyes closed. They were so good. Like, it was one of the best things I ever tasted. So I thought that would happen for you, but no. And so are you good on candy now, or are you going to dabble in it every once in a while?
Man, because it's literally, you know, like, you were like, man, I want some Skittles. Like, I just never, I didn't have, like, I lost those cravings.
Okay.
And I think, you know, I think it really has something to do on some deep, and for all my impact health and, you know, side, you know.
Yeah, you've been
homeopathic type of health stuff. Like, it reset my gut a little bit, you know, those cravings, they kind of left. And I think that was the most powerful part, is that I kind of got rid of, like, one sugar.
Okay, I wasn't going to do you like you did me, though. I was 2 days away.
You don't eat candy around me, though. I've never seen you eat candy.
But I was 2 days away from completing the year process. Of not having a single French fry. And Depot came into the studio with a whole bag of Chick-fil-A French fries, man. That was tough.
Hold on. Like, I brought them in and I grabbed an extra one. And then I was like, I'm going to get Maddie some fries. And then I was like, oh, wait, that was a bad idea.
I still got 48 hours to go. It was tough, man. But no, good to see you again. Man. TLC, what's going on, man? Happy Friday. How you feeling today?
Man, screw this. I got to do radio with two Ravens today. Kidding me?
You know, listen.
the day before, the last radio show before the big game on Sunday night.
Hey, man, you know we love you. Come Sunday night, though, the love goes out the window for a few hours.
Dude,
and then
Monday
we'll reconvene.
Morning's gonna be a sad, depressing drive-in for one of us.
For sure. For somebody.
No, we got to face.
Yeah, no doubt. So Sunday Night Football will be being AFC North title on the line between Steelers and Ravens tomorrow. We got some big games to get into around the NFL as well. I think one of them kicks off at 4. I think the nightcap is Seattle and Tampa. Seattle and
San Fran. So that's for the one seed.
Yes.
And then the Tampa and Carolina being the little matinee, if you will.
Yeah, no doubt.
A little bit after that.
So we'll get into that. 4:30 is the game you just mentioned, Carolina at Tampa on ABC and ESPN. Nightcap on ABC and ESPN as well.
Right there for NFC East,
right? No question. For the South. Yeah,
the NFC South.
Yeah, and then 8 o'clock, you'll get Seattle and San Francisco. So a nice NFL day coming at you tomorrow. We'll preview all of that stuff with Sam Monson at 1:30 today from the Check the Mic podcast. Used to be at PFF. 2:30, Cam Meller from the Pro Football Network will join us to talk all things college football. The playoff was absolutely insane yesterday. And then 12:30, our own Jim Lachey will join us to talk about the Buckeyes and kind of look back at the season and what he anticipates and what he's looking forward to as we get ready for an off-season spring and all that stuff here in the next few months. Quick reminder, hey, you miss anything from our show, don't worry. You can always catch up wherever you get your podcast. All you have to do, folks, is type in Rothman and Ice. Everything we do from noon to 3, we'll be waiting there for you. Subscribe to the podcast as well. The wonderful folks at Bet365 are the sponsor of the Rothman and Ice podcast. Shout out to everybody in the YouTube chat. Hope you guys are having a great day as well. Quarterfinals, Depot, yesterday in the college football playoff. I feel like we got to start with Indiana.
Do you see my point now?
About what? Remind me.
Okay, so we had this point about, like, moments, Heisman moments, historic seasons, and, like, you, in our pregame show, like, I had thought about this, like, 4 times, and it wasn't in, a negative way. I was like, see, I told Maddie. I was like, well, bottom line, I'm going to just say this. Fernando Mendoza is a legend. He's a college football, Cam Newton, Tim Tebow, Reggie Bush. He's in...
In that class?
Absolutely. And here's the reason why, because you talk about historic season, historic runs, even historic stats. He's the only quarterback that's undefeated against the bye week. The 12-team playoff bye week. He even stamped it and it was like, hey, yo, I don't even want the MVP trophy. Give it to the O-line. He's a legend.
He's a dude.
He's a dude.
He's no doubt a dude.
And you just see, and then you hear the stories of the virtual reality. I know Jaden Daniels did that. Like he did that from Arizona. I'm sorry, from LSU to Washington, and he was able to take a leap as a rookie. And you see what that VR is doing for a quarterback to see these pitchers, wear the jerseys, be in the Rose Bowl. He's just throwing things and looks real comfortable. And every slight thrown at Mendoza, I laugh at because like. Herbie had a few of them. He said he runs like a baby giraffe. He said he's awkwardly effective. And then, like, we have this slight too, Adam, and the guy just keeps producing in a historic legend way, man. Gotta give it to him.
I can't take anything from him. I've never really tried to take anything from him at all. I mean, you watched the game yesterday. They start with a 3-and-out. 6 of the next 7 possessions, they're putting up points.
Yeah.
They've just been an efficient unit all year long with him. You look at the ball placement, like he just dots up throws, man. Like he is just absolutely on point. We saw it in the Big Ten championship game. You saw the timing and the accuracy and that touchdown to Surratt yesterday too. Like, and he's got the size, man, where I think he can do some really good things in the NFL. The story is just absolutely crazy.
Like that Becker throw was pretty good.
It was a dot. It was absolute dot too. I mean, he is just, he in this whole program right now is one of the crazier stories I think the sport has ever seen.
Ever.
Like, this is a program that was just in the basement of the conference and in the entire landscape of college football. They were never really a threat to do any type of significant damage. They had a couple games to where they threw a scare in Ohio State every once in a while, but it was never, like, nobody could ever see this coming from them, talking about them getting to a point to where they are the Vegas favorite right now to win the national championship, like Indiana. And so all of this from Cignetti down, the coordinators, the players, the leader as the quarterback right now, even the guys on defense, these guys are just flying around and they just don't mess around with anybody. And they just went straight BTA on Alabama yesterday out there in Pasadena.
The all-time losingest college football program in the Rose Bowl in 2026 beat the all-time winningest college football program in college football history. It's
Signetti and it would be a hell of a yes, sir, Mr. Signetti. It would be a great movie. And you, the turnaround, too, in the short amount of time, taking Nick Saban's blueprint, dropping it at JMU, dropping it at Indiana, and having immediate success, like you're looking for a prototype, somebody who fits the mold. And then just the quiet confidence. And I'm sitting there watching this post game, and Signetti is just trying so hard not to smile and keeping this Signetti impersonation going on, that it's like this game is so pure and it's so beautiful. Even me, like, that's who I want to win the national championship.
Okay,
that's
so you're rocking with them. You're rocking with them.
Man, they just, I mean, I remember our Rose Bowl last year, just that feeling on that stage, mm-hmm. and just like for them to win, first bowl win since 1991. I was born in 90. Yeah. I was born in 1990. Right. It's just, yeah. In my life, man, it's just, I'm gone on this story.
It's one of the better sports stories we've ever seen, for sure. I mean, Mendoza, the last four games, 11 touchdowns, one interception. The one interception came against Ohio State, but he's playing super clean football. They get Oregon now in the Peach Bowl. I think that's going to be an absolute banger of a game. Oregon just kind of wiped the floor with Texas Tech yesterday. It should have been a much more of a blowout than the final score was. And then on the other side, in the Fiesta Bowl, we'll get Ole Miss in Miami. And the Ole Miss-Georgia game was absolutely crazy, man. That game was insane. Ole Miss scoring 24th quarter points, had to overcome so many good things or tough things in the situation. Their kicker making some big time field goals in that game as well. And so, yeah, everybody outside of Indiana that had the bye, all season's begun for them. So the bye week blues is still real when it comes to this playoff, man.
It's real. And then you wonder what it does. You hear Texas Tech's coach is like, he begged the players, he said, make me right. And I think defensively they did show a good showing.
There was some resistance there for sure on defense.
There. Yeah. I mean, and in the college football playoff, outside of that, that Texas A&M Miami game, it's very hard to win games scoring under 20 points. You got to put some points up.
You mentioned Texas Tech. I mean, they spent so much money on this year's roster.
Yeah.
And you get bounced in the first round or in the quarterfinals after you get the bye. And so I wonder if that will change things down there. It sounds like they're still ready to pony up a lot of cash. Yeah, but yeah, that has to be tough too.
But you're at the table, though.
For sure. Now you are. Because I don't think the money's not going anywhere.
No.
Money's not going anywhere.
And this is the visibility for the program is pretty positive this year.
No question. Coming up next, we'll get D-Po's thoughts on the Ohio State-Miami game. And we've got guys hitting the portal for Ohio State. We'll update you on one of the weapons that's leaving Columbus next. It's Rothman and Ice right here on The Fan.
Have you already started your tailgate? Us too. It's Football Friday.
Sponsored by Tansky Sawmill Toyota.
Your home of the Buckeyes. The Fan.
Are you ready to train?
Email from a listener. What exactly is Common Man and Timmy supposed to be? How can I put this? A couple of immature men who love to have mindless conversation, laugh, and dabble in sports. And farts.
Weekdays at 3.
And there you go. The Fan. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Mostly sunny skies are expected here for your Friday with high temperatures around 30 this afternoon. Winds out of the northwest at 5 to 10 miles per hour. And then for the weekend, we're still tracking highs around the lower 30s here on Saturday and Sunday. But looking at a mix of clouds and sunshine with more clouds on Saturday than Sunday. And that's a look at your 10 weather impact forecast. I'm meteorologist Aaron White here on 97.1 The Fan.
Bet365, the official online sports book of Rothman and Ice. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Miss a minute of Rothman and Ice? Check out the podcast.
Type in Rothman and Ice wherever you get your podcasts. Download and subscribe.
Back to Rothman and Ice.
Welcome back in, folks. Happy Friday to you. Devere Posey in the building today for AR Bottom of the Hour. The one and only Jim Lachey will join us to talk about the Buckeyes. He was obviously down there in Dallas calling the game with Paul and Skip and our wonderful crew, Tyler Danberg, as well. So we'll get his feel on everything that happened, not only in that game, but also throughout the season. Depo, I have not talked to you since the game. Final score, 24-14 in favor of the team from the 305 as a former player. When the clock hit triple zeros and you evaluated everything and kind of went back and thought about the game, what's really stuck with you and why things went left for Ohio State in the quarterfinals? A lot of things, huh?
Well, this super awkward answer, but I guess there's a theme with this type of loss, and it kind of goes back to Michigan, and it was Michigan 2023. Just like a loss of like, well, defensively you had to know stuff, but offensively CJ Stroud was just kind of like, you know, he didn't look like himself. Then the next loss of Michigan the next year, the Oregon game, 24. And then you have that Michigan loss where we scored 13. And then we had this Michigan win that kind of turned that time. But there's these characteristic feelings of that type of loss. Like I felt that feeling before watching that game. And I don't know if anybody else knows what I'm talking about, but it's, we're hovering under 20 points. There's a lot of plays to where they should have been big plays on big drives. We miss plays. Then we also have situations. That's just pure execution. That could go 50-50 execution. That's guys on the field. We got to execute. We got to see that stuff and execute. Then there's like moments in the game to where like decisions, you know, one way or the other. And they just seem like we always make the wrong decision. And I don't know why it's starting to feel like in these games that have these losses all kind of make up the same type of thing. And it comes with in the Ryan Day era, when we're not, you know, like making a lot of points, it's tough for us to win. And I know that's like, yeah, obviously, but those under 20 games, we don't really see those. Like, I don't have that feeling watching the staff, watching these like teams of late, like the trestle ball feeling and versus the good squads, like the Texas A&M, Miami type of games. And so those games come with a lot of execution, a lot of tight windows, a lot of, you know, decision making one way. And it just seems like for whatever reason, those ones get away from us. Yeah. And it's not a Ryan Day thing. And it's not a coaching staff, defensive staff thing. It's just the collective group. There's plays on the field that you're like, man, how do we miss that? Like, right. Normally we make that. And I know Ryan caught a good one, but he's going to take blame, and that's not fair. And so when you also take in strategy, decision making, and that feeling of like, man, like this play seems a lot heavier, I just think we got out physical too, offensively. Yeah. I don't really think we brought the fight to them much. There were some big hits in that game and not hit by us. You know?
Yeah, even their quarterback delivered a blow late in the game too. Carson Beck with that run he had late. So yeah, they definitely brought the smoke to the field for sure. And we kind of had some Blues clues to follow coming out of the Big Ten Championship game that there was some dicey stuff happening up front, especially on offense, right? With the way Indiana got after Ohio State. And we knew coming into this game how Miami was built. I mean, their head coach is a trenches guy, Mario Cristobal. Like, that's how he has got to this point, right? As a head coach, obviously doing some other good things, but that's what he believes in as a head coach. Believed in it at Oregon, brought that same physicality down to Miami. And when you got Bain and Mesidor and a whole bunch of other talented guys going up against an offensive line right now that had its questions, I wasn't very surprised to see what we saw. Maybe to that level there was a little surprise, but I mean, coming out of that game against Indiana, that's kind of where their offensive line was at, right? It's not really, I think, much you can do as far as getting new bodies and new body types in there. You gotta just roll with what you have. And so you gotta give Miami credit there, right? But to your point, there were some mistakes made in that game, especially that pick six. Like, you talk about that from a receiver position and what you saw, because it just seemed like Jeremiah just missed the block, like straight up. It was a great play by Scott, right? And you had, I think, Claire coming in motion, but from a receiver's position, that was Jeremiah's guy just straight up to block him, or was there something more to that play?
I think this is the overall mentality that Miami kind of brought. Like, and at that point in the game, you see, I think we had like two three and outs already up into that point. And so Bain, it just flying, Mess Bain just flying up the field. Linebackers just, okay, pass protection. We were talking about the pass protection with Bo Jackson. And you know those two things like go one way or the other. And
either you got it or you don't.
And it's not that simple right now. Easiest position.
Right.
Like that, like stepping up in pass protection for a running back with a blitzing linebacker is a tough business decision to make. Right. We just kind of lost those like physicality corner, like edges.
Yeah.
And so that play was a play where like you got to be physical at the point of attack. And I just think the mindset that Miami was in was just ears pinned back. Mm-hmm. We're downhill on everything and we're just throwing the ball laterally with a guy. And so it's the mindset of like our offense was just kind of going horizontal before we realized
we need to go down the field and attack. You need pressure with pressure, you know, pick up blitz and be able to make counts and get the ball out quick. Just that horizontal thing just wasn't working at that time. And I think that's really what caused that pick six, because, hey, if you guys are going to throw screens, we've seen this on film, we're jumping around.
Mm-hmm. So. And I think as soon as Claire went in motion, to your point about what they saw in film, Scott was just locked in on Julian. Did not take his eyes. He was like, I'm going right now. I mentioned AR yesterday. It reminded me of the Malcolm Butler pick.
Yep.
Right in the Super Bowl, where you can hear him talk about that.
It was practice.
They practiced that time.
Practice.
And he saw the look and he didn't flinch. And that's what it felt like to me. Another thing, too, combination of both games between the Big Ten Championship game and the Cotton Bowl, they weren't good on third down. They could not continue to move the chains. And you know, when the talent kind of balances out in these games, you got to be able to keep drives alive. What did you think of the pace? Because that was kind of a thing all year where I think some Buckeye fans wanted them to hit the gas a little bit more. Did you feel that way watching this game, like they weren't going up tempo enough? I know they did it in certain spots, but did you want to see it more in that one?
Man, my thing as a football just player and like in my 7-on-7, I just, if you have 2 3-and-outs, I just believe in let's just get in 2 minutes. And just creating a sense of urgency for me, or getting in a NASCAR type of offense to where things are operating faster, it just wakes the offense up, you know. And how we can confirm that is our 2 minute drill. We were able to go down. We obviously missed that field goal, but offense started clicking with a sense of urgency. I like tempo to kind of wake guys up. To make that call in a game of like, hey, like, you know, we just had 2 3-and-outs and hey, we're going to go out here and go into 2 minutes. It sounds crazy, right? It doesn't seem like the logical thing to do, but you build up these weeks, Maddie, and you have a first 15, and first 15 just goes buzz dead. Brrr, you know, the line is static.
That's tough.
And you're trying to, like, where do we go from here?
Right,
where do we find rhythm? Nothing is showing. We leaned on the running game, right, in that last drive. A little tempo with a running game was helping stun that rush. And I think we found that mix, and I think it was just kind of late.
Felt that way for sure. You touched on the run game. We got some news today, Depot, with a guy hitting the portal in that running back room. James Peoples is now gone. He's hitting the portal. It felt early on in the season like he was going to have an opportunity to be the guy. He only had double-digit carries in one game this year. That was the game against Texas right out of the gate. And he finished the year third on the squad in carries. Bo Jackson with 179, C.J. Donaldson with 96, and James Peoples with 61. Bo Jackson, in your eyes, next steps for him, because obviously the dude is very, very talented, right? He's got the pop. There's a lot there to work with, but coming from your lens, what do you want to see from him, you know, coming out next year in year number two?
You guys remember when Sonny and Arvell Reese had their first offseason in Marotti's program? Bo Jackson gaining 15 to 20, like, useful pounds.
Mm-hmm.
He's already a strong back. He's already like talented and gifted, balanced, falling forward.
Yeah.
Thing I loved is we kept him in on goal line, and you were able to kind of see his talent to just find wiggle room. Is just, you know, let me get in there. And then he did the extra extended effort. Just a player. What's a football player? Bo Lamar Jackson.
And he knows. Bo knows.
He was born.
Yeah, he's born for this, man. Little thing, though, probably the pass pro, right?
Like, got to work on that. But that's physical. That's Marotti.
And he's
though.
A freshman, right?
Yeah.
The physicality, you know, I mean? The freshman, like you get that.
Yep.
You kind of take it on the chin a little bit as a young guy.
Well, he stood in
here. He did. It's just the physicality. It's just levels to it, right?
He made the right business decision.
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know, you take a loss.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Got to get on that. One of my friends played at BG, and he was a little light, and they put him on like the breakfast club.
Yeah.
Where you had to show up like at like 6 a.m. or whatever. And they'd, hey, it's just carbs and all that stuff to make him gain weight. And they all season. So to your point, the Body by Marotti program has worked for a lot of people. Won't be surprised if it works for him. Quick nugget as well. Backup kicker Jackson Corvo hit the portal as well. So interesting, right?
That we didn't see. Backup field goal kicker?
Yes. That we didn't see
much
of him.
Do you think he left because he could have made that kick?
I don't think you're wrong with asking that.
He probably feels that way.
Coming up in 2 minutes, Jim Lachey joins us to talk all things Buckeyes. It's Rothman and Ice right here on The Fan.
Once there was a man who couldn't stand.
A mom who couldn't wait.
A scientific community that said it couldn't be done.
And then you.
And then I.
And then we. Brought neuromuscular disease into screaming color with the Muscular Dystrophy Association.
For 75 years, our voices have thundered through the halls of Congress.
We've willed the impossible into existence.
We've pushed the science,
raised the funds,
shifted the narrative,
and transformed the reality of life with neuromuscular diseases.
For 75 years, we've built communities together,
established the field of neuromuscular medicine,
and made it thrive.
Call that a legacy.
Call it impact.
Call it momentum.
Just call it ours.
Because it's the generations of community heroes that give MDA the strength we have today.
And until neuromuscular disease is a thing of the past, you couldn't stop us if you tried.
Join us and celebrate 75 years of breakthroughs at MDA75.org.
While serving in Vietnam, a grenade took my ability to see. Today, I'm a sculptor. Now, my fingers are my eyes. I'm Michael Naranjo. As a veteran, I know the challenges of life can be great. In my art, turning a lump of clay into something beautiful, that is worth doing. Life is like that. We each must use what we can to make things better.
DAV helps veterans like Michael get the benefits they've earned. They help more than 1 million veterans every year in life-changing ways.
Now, I show others how they can create something with their own hands. I know it can do a lot of good. With support from DAV, more veterans can shape their lives into a thing of beauty. My victory is bringing beauty into the world.
Michael Naranjo, may your victories inspire many more. Support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
Rothman and Ice is sponsored by your local Pella Window and Door showroom on Gemini Parkway.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Anthony once ran the table on the World 9-Ball Champion.
Coincidentally, Maddie is out looking for a Magic 8-Ball. Signs point to, this is Rothman and Ice.
Welcome back in. Happy Friday to you. Going to light up right now the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline and bring on the great Jim Lachey. Jim, Happy New Year. Happy Friday. How you feeling, my man?
I'm feeling good. Good to be back here in Columbus, Ohio after that weekend, or the week, I should say. Feels like it was the weekend in Dallas for the Cotton Bowl. But, yeah, just a tough night for the Buckeyes, but here to talk about it.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt, as always. We really appreciate your time. Let's start down there in the trenches, Jim. It's, you know, a tale that's as old as time, right? Like, hey, you got to be able to control the line of scrimmage, especially when you get to this time of year and other teams are bringing a lot of talent out of the tunnel as well. So, from your perspective, watching the game, that eagle eye view, what did you see up front on from the offensive line and why things didn't go the way that they wanted them to?
Well, early on, you know, we got the sack. The first series, Ohio State had it. Second series, and we had to punt. You know, I thought the defense was doing a good job. They forced a three and out and a punt the first series, and then, you know, had the Peyton Pierce fumble recovery on the second series, but we just couldn't convert to that. Then late in the second, or late in the first quarter, you know, they got the touchdown with Fletcher on the little wheel route. You know, got in the end zone, and, okay, up 7-0, and then, boom, we get the big pass play to Jeremiah, right, 59 yards. You're thinking, okay, here we go. And then that next play, obviously the pick six, and, you know, you're down 14-0, and you're just hoping that you can make some plays there before the end of the half. You know, that didn't happen. Going to the locker room, you know, down 14-0, which, you know, I think it was the first time since 2022 that we were down 14 points in a ball game, and kind of unknown territory for this squad. They've never been in that position. But they came out in the third quarter, and, you know, next thing you know, it's 14-17, and or 14-7, and you're thinking, okay, you know, we're in this ball game. They get a field goal, you know, make it 17-10, and then, you know, Jeremiah gets a TD on that 4th-and-2 call. Obviously, we switched up things, you know, down there in the red zone. We kept our wide receivers in, and that paid off. You're thinking, okay, we got a ball game here. You know, we force them to punt, and then, you know, we come out and end up in a, 4th-and-22. We had to punt. It was down the 10-yard line, and then, you know, illegal formation. We had to do it again. Ball comes out to the 30-yard line, and you're thinking, okay, just need one stop here. You know, get an opportunity, and, you know, couldn't quite do it. And, you know, they drained a bunch of clock with, you know, a little under 6 minutes to go in the game, took it down the 2-minute warning. And, you know, looks like we let him score, you know, to go down. And, you know, they got that final interception. That was ball game. But, I think with the offensive line, obviously pass protection was a key. And then run blocking. You know, if you can't block the first level, it's going to be hard to get to that second level. And that was the case. And, you know, you saw Miami bring some guys from the secondary, bring some guys off the edges, and, you know, kind of get some penetration on Julian Sain, you know, during those passing things. And then really for the first time all year, we saw defensive ends and, you know, what I call wide nine, you know, 4 or 5 yards probably wider than, you know, our offensive tackles. And, you know, that's a tough set. You got to change it up. You got to get with your first step, and then you got to keep your shoulder square in your second and third steps, you know, as you're taking your pass set. It's nothing new. I mean, this is that wide nines have been around for a long, long time. But we just didn't handle it and, you know, got some pressure on the quarterback. And if your offensive line, defensive lines, you know, don't go out there and play well, it makes it awful tough on your skill guys. So with no running game, you know, because we couldn't, you know, block them up, we had to rely on the passing game. And I thought we made some plays. Obviously, you look at the day that Jeremiah Smith, I thought Brandon Ennis had one of his best, you know, ball games, you know, coming up with some big plays there. Just couldn't quite do enough to get it done. And we're at a place in Ohio State where, you know, we compete for national championships every year. So it's always frustrating when you don't win one, you know, and that's just the way it is. It's one of the, you know, probably a dozen programs in the country that really can compete for a national championship every year. So that's the standard we have here. We own that. We live up to it. 12-2 for most teams are celebrating that team every 10 years, you know, bringing them back to campus and have them on the field between quarters or at halftime. But at Ohio State, you know, that's just not quite good enough. And that's the standard that has been set. So we understand that. Now you got to go back to work, and 2026 will be here before you know it. Well, it is here, but the season will be.
Absolutely. I think with this team offensively, you had the Indiana game, and you know, Jim, we're on the offensive side of the ball, like, you know, finding that rhythm and putting together good sets just leads into confidence execution wise. And you have three and outs, you have a pick six, you're able to find it through tempo. Just conceptually, where does this offense go from here? You know, like that, you know, the Indiana in that game and our mindset, obviously, you know, offensive coordinator is still a big question mark, but where do we go conceptually, right? Like what's our identity? As I feel like we're trying to find it these past two games.
Well, DeVere, I think, you know, for so long we saw Coach Day when he was calling plays that it was up-tempo. You know, that's what Coach Meyer wanted when he was a coordinator. It's kind of what he brought, you know, running 50, 60, you know, or really 70, you know, plus plays per game. And this year, knowing, thinking, hey, it's going to be a long season, save the bodies a little bit. We slowed it down, huddled up, and, you know, tried a little bit different way to do it with the communication in the huddle. You're not, you know, singling plays in as the way you did in the past. And you're huddling up, getting a play called and going up the line of scrimmage and executing. You know, for 12 games, that system worked perfectly fine. Indiana, you know, they brought pressure, was able to make some plays, you know, in a 3-point ball game. And then you get Miami, you know, who had a great defense, you know, has a quarterback, I thought, that stepped up and made some plays. I think their coordinator, you know, on both sides of the ball, defensive coordinator Corey Heatherman, you know, came from Minnesota. You know, you look at this Miami defense, they've improved, you know, by about 10, 11 points per game from 24 to 25. You know, they got rid of four guys on their defensive staff and rebuilt their defense and, you know, came out and it's paid off for them so far this year. You know, what they did to Texas A&M and then certainly what they did to Ohio State. And I thought, you know, Shannon Dawson, their offensive coordinator for the Miami, for the Hurricanes, called a great game. I mean, you know, in that final drive, that screen pass was, you know, the one that got out the house. They were able to attack the C-gap and make some plays in the running game there and then, you know, get that screen pass and take the air out of the ball, so to speak, and, you know, put it together. You know, Carson Beck was able to do it, you know, not only with his arm, but, you know, with his feet. I think if you look at the playoff games, you know, so far this year, you got to have a quarterback that has the ability to convert on third down, you know, with his feet to take a little pressure off the offensive line and off the offense as a whole to keep, you know, to convert on third downs and keep the ball in your hand. So those are some things that you got to look at. And, you know, evaluate everything, right? I mean, you got the transfer portal starting up. You see guys that, you know, have already jumped into that for Ohio State. And Revere, man, I don't know about you, but if they had this system when I was there, I'd probably test it every time. You know, why would you? I mean,
this portal system? You know,
yeah, I mean,
just put your name in a hat.
Why wouldn't you? I mean, you know, get an opportunity. You want to play, and you want to, if they're paying you, you know, you want to make some money. So it's an opportunity for these guys to do that. And you know, I don't blame anybody for wanting to do that. It's the system has changed so much since, you know, from when I played to when you played and to where it is right now that it's just totally different. So and I no blame on anybody there for wanting to do that.
I love that. And I think even from the portal, you look at it as, yeah, let's go make some money. But also, I came here with this goal of going to the NFL. And I love Lincoln Kingholt's comments. It's like, that's my goal. And like within this, guys, like I need to play football to do that. And there are people in the portal, kids and families that say, hey, this situation isn't working out and it's not about money. And for those things, I think that's when the portal is successful, when it's about ball and it's about, you know, not the financial side. So I'm super excited for Lincoln Kingholt. I was going to miss him around here. What a great guy.
No, exactly right. You know, and he's, you know, put 3 years in the program. No complaints there, but I agree with you. You got to, you know, if you want to play at that next level, you got to get playing time. You got to get that PT and you got to find a way to get it done. And the only way to do that is to be a starter. And if you're a starter at Ohio State, if you're contributing a lot, you know, as a second team guy, you know, whether it's a wide receiver, running back, tight end, you know, on the defense, you know, getting a lot of playing time, there's no reason to leave because you're going to get taken care of here. But if you're not one of those guys, then you have to find an opportunity. And, you know, and no matter how much you love everything about Ohio State, and I know these guys do, they enjoy their experience here and our fans and everything, but it turns into a business. And you know, if that's your goal to play, and everybody, right, who comes to Ohio State dreams of playing in the NFL, that's why you're here. Mm-hmm. So that's just part of it, part of college football now here. You know, and when you're in 2025, 2026, that's just what it's all about. You want to have those opportunities at these major programs to do that. And, you know, I know that, you know, my son played at Iowa and their expectations were a little bit different. I mean, their expectations, the successful season was, you know, going to the bowl game and winning. And, you know, that was success. And then, you know, every few years get an opportunity to compete, you know, for a conference championship. But that's not the expectations here.
No doubt, Jim. You know we love you. We appreciate your time. As always, it's been a great year catching up with you every single week. So thank you so much for that. Best to you and yours in the new year. And I'm sure we'll catch up soon, man. Thank you again.
Thank you. And, hey, thanks for having me on every week and give me some airtime. I really appreciate, you know, the conversations and the talks that we've had these last 14, 15 weeks. So it's been a lot of fun. I look forward to it every week.
Right back at you, man. Have a great weekend. We'll talk soon. Thank you.
Okay, buddy. Bye-bye.
There he goes. The great Jim Lachey joining us via the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. We'll round out the first hour as we always do on a Friday with overs and unders next. It's Rothman and Ice right here on The Fan.
If you consider yourself a Buckeye fan, you've come to the right place. This is your heritage sports talker and home of Ohio State Athletics, The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
It's 2020.
We are the keepers of the wild, America's original and most invested conservationists. For more than 80 years, we've been committed to conserving wildlife and the natural landscapes that define our nation. From rugged alpine ridgelines to peaceful tall grass prairies, we've supported the conservation of more than 36 million acres of American wildlands. Our funding has led to cleaner water, fresher air, and improved wildlife habitat. From abundant fish and waterfowl populations to robust deer and elk herds, nothing is more important than maintaining wild spaces for adventurers to explore and wildlife to thrive. We are America's hunters and target shooters, stewards of the American outdoors.
America's hunters and target shooters, along with firearm, ammunition, and archery manufacturers, have invested more than $46 billion to help state fish and wildlife agencies manage and protect wildlife and wild lands across America. For more information, visit OutdoorStewards.org.
My mom is a veteran, and she was injured in the line of duty.
I hurt my leg in a training accident when she was only 2 years old.
She had 7 different surgeries over the span of 9 years, and there were tons of complications.
I couldn't be the mom my kids needed me to be.
She missed so much.
After my last surgery, I got an infection so bad I thought it was going to kill me.
I told her she couldn't leave me yet. There was still so much she had to see. I hadn't even graduated.
I'm doing much better now. I may have lost my leg, but I've gained so much. I'm an active part of my kids' lives.
She can kick a mean soccer ball.
DAV's been there for me and my family. Through thick and thin, they've had our back.
Every year, DAV helps more than a million veterans like Sandy get the health and disability benefits they've earned so they can achieve victories great and small.
My victory is getting my life back. I got my joy back.
We got our mom back, thanks to DAV.
Support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
You still thinking job?
Gun suicide attempt? All it takes is a moment.
Heather and I had an argument just like any other couple. I was lost. I had snapped. I had a gun and I was going to take my own life. Heather helped me realize that there was still a life to live for the better of myself, my family. My weapon is now safely put away.
A moment of crisis can happen to anyone. Store your guns locked, unloaded, and away from ammo. Hear more safe stories at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by Brady and the Ad Council.
Morning Juice is now on YouTube, weekday mornings starting at 6.
If you're a fan of Bobby Carpenter, he's ready to attack and dominate.
If you're a fan of Jeff Dudoff,
drive directly to a hospital.
Seriously,
The Fan.
The Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Patriot Air Comfort Systems and Bryant.
Doing whatever it takes to keep your home comfortable.
The Fan.
Rothman and Ice presents Overs and Unders.
Sponsored by the Roofing Guys.
For all your roofing, siding, and gutter needs, contact the Roofing Guys at theroofingguys.com.
All right, TLC, let's get after it. What do you got cooked up in Overs and Unders today?
All right, so the first over-under question is, what's the most amount of money you've ever spent on a haircut over under $100? Here to help us out from the perfectly named Closed on Sundays podcast, here is Terrion Arnold and Pat Sertan.
What's the most money you paying for a haircut?
$30. Now, if it's a house call, probably $100. Nah, $150. I feel like the premium now with barbers, I feel like they'd be overkill. Ain't no way I'm getting a regular low taper, a regular fade, and a cut $50. What are we doing?
When I was in Miami, he pays a celebrity barber. I done seen a couple rappers or whatever he done cut. So yeah, man, you know, I'm like that. I said, man, I appreciate your time, so I'm going to tip you a little extra, man. How much it is? You know, it's just $300. Hey, Pat, I said, huh? It's just $300. I ain't going to lie, fam. You got to get that in blood. But $300? I end up talking him down to $150. My homeboy say, I don't need a cut no more.
I'm cool. I'm good. I'll be wearing hats.
So I don't know if you guys have any celebrity barbers around who are charging you $300.
It's a thing. It's a thing. Yeah. Like, you want to be that barber that's in the team facility chopping heads pregame. Like, that's a desirable barber job. I have over $100 for a house call. Yeah,
you have?
Yeah, okay. For a house call.
Okay,
yeah.
Explain to the... It's pretty obvious, but for the folks that don't know, explain what that is.
A barber shows up.
Yep.
And they're getting anybody in the house.
Okay.
You know, anybody in the house can jump in the chair. Yeah. And honestly, it's a good feeling. It's a nice thing to have your barber come to your house, you shower at home, and you're out of there. But I don't live that life no more. I'm going to the barbershops now, making sure my kids don't play in the hair on the floor.
So here's the problem. You mentioned the celebrity barbers.
Yeah.
This has created a trickle-down effect to the regular barbers because they've been upping the prices like crazy.
Oh, because they think they're the celebrity barbers now.
Well, they're thinking in their mind, I think, TLC, well, they're making so much. And I'm not making nearly enough. So let me up my prices to try to close the gap a little bit because of where the market is, as I guess. I remember cuts used to be $20. $20. I know a couple barbers that have now charging $60. I don't want to pay more than $40 for a cut. I don't.
You got to be able to really cut hair, man.
Yeah, you got to have it crispy,
man. You got to be able to fade hair from like light to dark and like no transition.
Correct.
And you got to be able to line up. To me, a real barber who deserves more than $30, you can line me up without a razor and it looks razor sharp. That's a good barber that deserves a nice tip.
And the cut will hold for a couple weeks, right? I don't have to see you every week. You know what I'm saying? Like that type of thing. So I'm at about $40. Lucky for me, though, one of my closest friends, he is a barber. And so we've made a couple trips. Like, we went out to Vegas for a bachelor trip. He brought the Clippers with him. Oh, so he's that guy. Like, if there's a function, he usually has the Clippers in the trunk. And so, you know, we spend a couple dollars there, and he'll be able to line you up wherever you're at. So that, I am kind of blessed in that way, that one of the homies is an actual barber. But I've never spent more than $45 for a cut.
Yeah.
And that's, to me, a little, it's still a little rich.
I'm getting to the point to where I got three boys haircut eligible.
Yeah.
And we're everyone's scheduled on an opposite week.
Okay.
Because I'm not getting hit.
You're not doing that two-hour appointment where you just go kid after kid after kid and you just can't leave?
Listen, I'm bringing one kid a week. All right? Like, and I know what rotation are, but us all going at one time?
No.
No.
No, no, no. And especially...
That'll kill a whole evening, dude.
Listen. That'll kill half of the month's budget.
You go to certain barbershops and you just know appointment or not, you're going to be there for a while.
Yeah.
I don't have that. You're going to be aware for a while. My guy is really locked in. Like, he's on it.
Based.
But, man, I've been to a couple barbers where you want to get a cut at 10:15 in the morning on a Saturday.
You lost a client.
You're not getting in the chair till about 11.
Lost the 11:50.
Like, that's just how it is.
Oh, man.
At certain barbershops, it's rough. Where do you get your hair cut at, TLC?
Holy Moses in Dublin.
Okay.
My guy Brian Crane hooks me up.
Okay. Nice.
Okay. Shout out to Holy Moses.
Brian Crane.
How long do you have to wait when you go there? You in and out?
Mine's appointment based, so I show up about within five minutes early or
you're not playing
or on time, and just tardiness. I say, hey, just tell Brian I'm here, and then he comes out like a minute or two later.
Okay. Yeah.
You would be appalled if you were waiting, huh?
Yeah.
Because I would be appalled.
Oh, if we had an appointment at a certain time, then yeah.
Yeah, I'm big on punctuality.
If I'm walking in, then that'd be a different story.
Yeah, I'm big on respecting people's time. You know what I'm saying? Like, respect. Hey, let's get in, get out. Hey, if my cut's at 9:30, no later than 9:40 I want to be in the chair. Man, you know what I mean?
My barber's been cutting my hair since I went to college here. He's cut all my son's hair. I'm in love with my barber. We're good.
That's a good thing. There's always guilt. If you even think about going to another barber.
I wouldn't even think. I don't think that.
What if it was like...
He's going to retire before I leave.
What about tattoo artists? Do you have to stick with one there?
So, that's a weird situation because one of my best friends is a tattoo artist.
Yeah. He was here.
He was here. And so,
I forget his name, but I met him.
My guy, Cam.
Did I meet him too?
Yeah,
when he was here?
Yeah.
I didn't know he was a tattoo artist.
For a while, as kids, it was like... But we used to have sleepovers together. You're not tattooing. But then after a while, like, you're like, yeah, you're probably one of the best guys in Cincinnati, and you know your name. Like, I can't even get on his schedule now. So
he's down in the Natty.
Yeah, he's down there. And he's like a celebrity tattoo artist.
Okay, so he's out here.
He probably charges more.
You know, maybe a couple bangles came to see him. You know, a couple bangles came to see him.
He might have you on his homepage on his website. Man. Be like, here, Devere Posey.
All three of my tats are from three different artists.
Okay,
so I didn't have the guilt there, but the barber guilt is real. But what if you had like a pop up? Like an appearance, like last minute appearance, it just came up on your schedule and you weren't lined up the way you wanted to, but in your original barber couldn't cut you. What would you do?
Man, I'm gonna line myself up.
Okay.
It's that level of loyalty.
That's loyalty.
But we got a weekly.
Wow.
I go weekly.
Yeah, I go weekly. I'm every other.
Yeah, I go.
I'm every other.
Even when I don't, just go.
Yeah, some vibes in a barbershop. Keep that. You know,
for sure. I try to go by myself as much as I can.
Oh, wait a minute. Now I know what you mean by that would blow the family budget. I didn't know that you were going weekly.
I go weekly, and then they kind of trickle in once a week in my appointment just so I can keep that spot.
So it's always a posy party of two.
So it's you plus one.
If we get it low enough, it might hold. They can wait a couple. It might not. Maybe twice.
Oh, I got you. I got you. That was good stuff. That was great audio, TLC. Let's squeeze in one more if you got it.
Oh, sure. How many more years will Kalen DeBoer spend as the head coach at Alabama? Over under 1.5?
See, knee-jerk reaction would lead me to the under just based off of what we saw last night. I'm still a believer, though, that he can get this thing rolling, right? Because big picture, I look at what he's done at other stops around college football. And so there might be a little bit of heat on the seat today from Alabama fans because they got embarrassed yesterday. There's no denying that. But I'm going to go over. I'm going to go over that.
I think with him, it was a stat. I think Kurt mentioned it in the game that they were like the best team on third down in around the country. Like they could convert. And I think offensively, Kalen DeBoer's time in Indiana, time in Washington, he gets it offensively. He knows what it's supposed to look like. I think he has a guy with Ty Simpson. And just in finding that Alabama defensive mindset and recreating that in the SEC is where he's going to struggle. And outscoring teams with Alabama is very hard.
I wonder if he would want even Ty Simpson to come back next year. That's interesting to me.
Because there's a lot of quarterbacks in the portal.
I wonder if even like you give him some truth serum. Like, do you really want him back?
Yeah.
You may be looking elsewhere. We'll see. We'll talk to Cam Miller about that at 2:30 here in our final hour on a Friday. Coming up top of the hour, NFL picks against the spread. Don't move. It's Rothman and Ice right here on The Fan.
There's nothing Bo Bishop can't do well except find competent co-hosts. Bishop and Friends.
Weekdays from 9 to noon.
The Fan.
Take out
that glaucoma is one of the leading causes of blindness.
Because there are often no early symptoms, nearly half of those with glaucoma may not even know they have it until vision loss has occurred.
I was diagnosed with normal tension glaucoma in July of 2020. And what we found out at that point was I had already lost 40% of my sight. And you think it only affects people that are, 75 or older, retired, grandparents. And that's not the reality of it.
I didn't think at all glaucoma was going to affect me because I didn't know of anyone that had glaucoma, no one in my family. When you have glaucoma, you can't get back that sight that you lost. And so early detection and treatment is vitally, vitally important.
Don't miss life's most beautiful moments. Schedule an eye exam today.
National Glaucoma Research, a Bright Focus Foundation program, offers free resources and tips for healthy vision.
Learn how to protect your sight at stopglaucoma.org.
It's been a real journey since 2014 when I first had my injury. I realized that my home was just not working for me and that it was time to ask for help. Homes for Our Troops is really giving me my life back. The shower allows me to go in and turn around with my chair, pull down storage racks, automated door systems, hours of my morning given back to me. Adaptive sports are a huge part of my life, a huge part of my healing journey as well. Homes for Our Troops helped with making sure that I had a home gym so that I can continue to train. This past year, I was able to host Thanksgiving in my home. And it was the first time I was able to have my whole family in one place and I was able to contribute to the meal. There are a lot more veterans in need, and Homes for Our Troops is going to be there to help them too.
Homes for Our Troops builds and donates specially adapted custom homes nationwide for severely injured post 9/11 veterans and enables them to rebuild their lives. Join our mission at hfotusa.org.
We got a higher home appraisal after we put away our African art and family photos.
Has this happened to you because of race or national origin? Contact HUD at hud.gov/fairhousing. A message from HUD and the National Fair Housing Alliance.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios, driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good afternoon, I'm Ryan Baker. For the first time in 10 days, the Ohio State men's basketball team is back in action tonight. They travel to Rutgers to face the Scarlet Knights at 8. The Fan warm-up show with Brandon Bean gets underway at 7 right here on The Fan. Paul and Ron take over at 7:15. 12 scholarship Buckeyes have entered the transfer portal after it opened this morning. The latest to do so, punter Nick McClarty. Ohio State does have a couple official visits lined up, one of those being with Pitt linebacker and Pickerington Central grad Rasheem Biles. They also offered a scholarship to the top kicker in the 2026 class, Jacobo Echevarria from Upper St. Clair High School near Pittsburgh. Columbus Blue Jackets defenseman Zach Werenski was named to Team USA this morning for the upcoming Winter Olympics. Werenski is expected to return to the lineup tomorrow when the Jackets host the Buffalo Sabres at 3 right here on The Fan.
Rothman and Ice, NFL picks.
Sponsored by Roosters. Roosters is giving away 12 ultimate Buckeye experiences, tickets, sideline passes, trips to a first-round postseason game, and more. Register today at roosterswings.com.
All right, let's get into it. NFL picks this week. The final week of the regular season has arrived. Crazy. Like, I know it's always a cliche thing to say, Depot, but... Yeah. This went by fast for me. This went by fast for me. We'll get the wild card round starting, it looks like, next Saturday. Or am I making that up? Yeah, it looks like the 10th. We'll get that rocking and rolling. So playoffs right around the corner. Did you feel like it went by, like, the whole season? Like, tech, the college season and all that? Or did you feel like you were kind of really marinating in it?
Yeah. I mean, the first half of the season was we watched it on the patio. Now we're inside.
They're going outside right now.
Yeah. We're inside. Yeah. So it's breezed by. Yeah, and man, it was one of those years to where it just seemed like it was a lot of inconsistent football.
The NFL's crazy right now.
Yeah,
that's why the teams that we're going to watch in the playoffs, it's going to be nuts. We'll talk to Sam Monson at the bottom of the hour about everything happening around the league and a lot of things you need to look out for, this weekend. All right, TLC, let's kick this thing off. Where are we starting?
We're starting on Saturday at 4:30. We got the NFC South battle, Carolina-Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay -3 at home.
I don't know what's going on with Tampa, fellas, but they're a mess right now. They're an absolute mess right now, and they have some type of playoff DNA that they've built up over the last couple of seasons, but they're just a squad right now that cannot figure things out. I'm going to believe in Todd Bowles and an aggressive defense in this game at home. And so I think they're going to try to heat up Bryce Young, get him off his spot. Teteroa McMillan's had a good year for Carolina as a rookie. I'm going to lay those points, Depot, and I'm rolling with the Bucs at home, even though they're in a bad spot at the moment.
Yeah, I think when it comes to this team, man, a lot of what I saw in the early success, those first early wins, I felt like Bucky Irvin was a lot more involved and a lot more effective offensively and was really helping with play action with Emeka Buka. And then you had Mike Evans, the injury of Mike Evans go down and just – you're losing 1,000 yards right there, like the most consistent 1,000 yards for the last decade.
Every
this year,
man,
he's probably won't get it. And so that guy goes down. Obviously, you had to merge with Emeka Buka. You can only, as a rookie, catch people off guard for so long. Right. Team lost a lot of protection, lost in there, but just took a slide, man. Just four straight losses and just lost all momentum. But they still have a shot at it, right? In Carolina and what we're seeing with Bryce Young, truly happy for that kid. You gotta celebrate him when he's in this position, because we drilled him when he wasn't. So
you paying him in the 45-50 club,
man. To be honest, for this, it depends on this staff. Now, is this coaching staff, his quarterback staff, like this, did this staff draft him? No, it was right.
Yeah, so yeah,
okay, yeah.
GM
drafted him,
I believe so. I believe so.
Okay. So you just ask yourself, say, hey, is this quarterback at the place to where this coach and this quarterback, this is the right combination? Yeah. They got him playing at the right place. Is this the right quarterback QB combination? You saw at its height, Bill Belichick and Tom Brady can bring you 6 Super Bowls if it's right. Now, I'm not sure.
That's going to be an interesting contract for sure to see. So you rolling with Carolina?
I'm gonna go with Tampa, because I just like rooting for Baker this year.
There it is.
Yeah.
All right, the nightcap on Saturday is going to be Seattle and San Francisco. The Seahawks are 1.5-point favorites on the road.
I'm going with the Seahawks.
Okay. You talk about Mike McDonald. Heck of a coaching job that he's done. First couple years there in Seattle. But Kyle Shanahan and what he's done this year, right? You had Mac Jones having to play an extended period of time at the most important position. They lost a lot in the offseason, and here they are. The offense is cooking with hot grease right now. Defense is a mess. Defense is a mess at the moment, but offensively, they are lining it up. I'm going to go with Seattle on the road, though, and because I just don't think that San Francisco's defense will offer enough resistance.
Sam Darnold getting it done, because he spent some time in San Francisco. Yeah. And so, I speaking of Mac Jones, you wonder, Does he get a look next free agency, and does he play himself into now Sam Darnold's year in Minnesota was like historical. Now, I'm not saying he's going to have and turn around that team like a Geno Smith or a Sam Darnold, but does he get a realistic shot at maybe, hey, like this guy might be able to play?
I think it's a fair question to ask. There's been some of that going on the last few years around the NFL, right, where you have some of these guys that were in backup positions that get a chance to shine. And there's some confidence maybe around the league that, especially when a guy's been in the league for a minute.
Yeah.
Like Mac Jones has been around for a while.
Malik Willis may get a chance, as he's shown
some good flashes as the Packers backup. So I think you're on to something. The thing is, I think you have to trade for Mac Jones, because I think he's still under contract. So it'll be interesting to see if teams want to give up any assets there. What's next, TLC?
1 o'clock on Sunday, Browns, Bengals, Bengals minus 7.5, and Bengals fans are going to be pissed when they win.
So, Joey B, looks like he's playing. Like, and I, look, I respect this, because they could have easily shut it down for the year. He's like, no, man, I'm going out here and doing my thing. Myles Garrett watch again for the single-season sack record. You know, Pittsburgh didn't allow that to happen. However you want to look at it, it didn't happen last week. I'm going to go with the Bengals, though. I just, like, the Browns' offense right now is just, they're just not a real threat. So I'm going to go with Cincinnati at home.
I'm going to go with, it's Joe's playing, obviously, I'm going to go with Cincy to get it done head-to-head, him versus Shador. But is there an over-under Myles Garrett gets this sack? And I'm saying he Joey B is going to let him get one.
Oh, you think he's going to let him get it?
Joey B going to look out. Like, hey, I don't mind.
Baby. Yeah, yeah, go ahead, man.
Go ahead, Garrett.
Every time they're going to show me.
All right, also in that 1 o'clock slot, the Saints and the Falcons. The Saints are playing some good football lately, but the Falcons at home are still 3.5-point favorites.
Tyler Shuck's showing them something down there in New Orleans Depot. I mean, they drafted him, I believe, in the second round this year. And so there's a little bit of a spark there offensively. Best look, man. We got to send out some love to Chris Olave.
He's going
to
say he's out.
Just tough, man. I think they found like some blood clots in his lungs or something like that.
He got a blood clot in his lungs. Yeah, he's out due to blood clot.
Golly, that's tough. So best wishes to Olave for sure. I'll go with Atlanta at home and lay those points.
You like what you saw versus the Rams?
Bijan, man.
He's
on a whole nother level.
He's the best guy with the ball in his hand in the NFL right now. It's just hard for me to get that picture out because we did a show with – I think I did it with Baker, and I said the Rams were going to make it to the Super Bowl. That image of the Falcons just dominating them is very hard for me to go against. I'm going with the Falcons over New Orleans.
Packers, Vikings. The Vikings are 8.5-point favorites, which kind of makes me think that Packers are just rolling out anybody in this game.
Yeah. Go ahead, Depot. What do you think?
Yeah, this is one of these games to where we got to stay healthy. What's best for the franchise right here. But there are people still playing for incentives. Still playing to get it done.
Good angle.
Malik.
That's real. Malik's playing for a job.
He's playing. I might go with the Packers.
Okay, listen.
Go with the Packers.
I don't know whether or not Trayvon Diggs is playing in this game. They claimed him. Remember, the Cowboys let him go earlier in the week, and so Trayvon Diggs is now a Green Bay Packer. You mentioned Mac Jones. Maybe a team like Minnesota would be interested in bringing him in for a little competition in the offseason and maybe heat up J.J. McCarthy a little bit. I'm going to roll with Brian Flores, though, in his defense, man. I think Brian Flores may be a head coach next year. I'll lay the 8.5 and roll with the Vikings at the crib.
Cowboys and Giants. Cowboys are 3.5-point favorites on the road.
Yeah, the Giants, man, they're already doing their head coaching stuff, you know, throwing out names that they're interested in. Yeah. I just think Dak in this offense is still going to be locked in the way that we saw them on Christmas Day, and they'll play hard there. I'll lay the 3.5 and roll with Dallas and Gotham City.
Yeah, Dallas, not much to talk about there.
We got the Colts and the Texans. The Texans are 10-point favorites, and the Colts are starting Riley Leonard.
Notre Dame's finest, huh?
Yeah.
It's your boy.
A year.
I think right now, Depot, I said earlier in the week, I think Houston's going to be the scariest team in the playoffs on the AFC side of things. I there's something about their vibe right now. It's not perfect at the moment, but I just believe in D'Amico Ryans in that defense. CJ in that offense have felt the playoffs before. I'll lay the 10 and roll with Houston. I just think they're going to completely turn the water off for the Colts offense this weekend.
I don't care what time of the year it is. Beginning of the season, end of the season, at Lucas Oil, at NRG Stadium. Listen, man, I'm always picking the Texans over the Colts, bro. I've played against, like, I see T.Y. Hilton in nightmares. Like, I'm going the Texans no matter what time of the year, for sure.
Yes.
Oh, when you hear that, you know, we're talking about the Titans. They play the Jaguars, and it's going to be a bloodbath. Jaguars minus 13.5. This will be our last 1 o'clock game because apparently the 4 o'clock slate is loaded.
I think they figured it out with Cam Ward. It's been very clunky this year, but the smooth parts for him, I think, are things you can believe in as a front office as far as his arm talent, like the different arm angles he can throw from. We saw that at Miami. So I think long term, I think they found their guy. Jacksonville right now is they're playing some good ball right now. They're playing some good ball. That's a lot of points, but I'm going to lay them, Depot.
You going to lay them?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So you're saying they'll cover?
I think, yeah, that 13.5, I think they can cover that.
I think Tennessee covers, too. Just with Jacksonville trying to stay healthy at this point in the year, I don't think
ATN has a heavy load. Don't think Ingram has a heavy load. Brian Thomas would probably be in sweats. I'm going Tennessee to cover.
Good pickup for Jacksonville getting Jacoby Myers, and they signed him to an extension already.
Yes,
so he got his wish. He got out of Las Vegas,
mm-hmm.
went over to Duval County. I think he got a 3-year deal. And so
Duval.
I think now, Depot, when you have Jacoby and Brian Thomas, when mm-hmm. Travis Hunter comes back next year, I think that's a move they made to keep Travis Hunter more on the defensive side.
Smart.
Just following the money a little bit when you commit to Jacoby that way.
Smart, yeah.
Still sprinkle him in, I think, offensively. Every once. No? You want him completely on defense now?
I'm just on the you're a middle of the road receiver, but you're generational at corner.
Okay.
You
okay.
know, like, you know, just
okay.
just with balls,
yeah.
ball tracking.
I think
ability.
You're on to something. I think that's why they made that move for Myers to keep him on the defense side of the ball. When we come back, we're gonna hit you with Under Pressure next. It's Rothman and Ice right here on the Fan.
Let's see. High school, Buckeyes, Browns, kids in the retention pond. It must be Football Friday.
Sponsored by Tansky Sawmill Toyota.
Football is good.
The Fan.
I wish I'd gotten
all your favorite fan shows are on YouTube. Along with those fake YouTube ads like Chew This Gum and It Grows New Teeth. Experience the splendor of Bo sitting in his closet, Timmy Hall's gaudy gold chains, and Matty Ice wearing a coat in 90-degree weather. It's all there. Head to YouTube and subscribe today. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Mostly sunny skies are expected here for your Friday, with temperatures around 30 degrees here for this afternoon. Winds out of the northwest at 5 to 10 miles per hour. And then for the weekend, we are looking at a mix of clouds and sunshine, with more clouds on Saturday. Highs around 30 degrees here for Saturday and Sunday. And that's a look at your 10 weather impact forecast. I'm meteorologist Aaron White here on 97.1 The Fan.
Bet365, the official online sports book of Rothman and Ice. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Rothman and Ice present Under Pressure.
Sponsored by 3D Cabinetry. 3DCabinetry.net, where quality meets affordability.
All right, Depot, let's get into it. Devere Posey in the building today for AR. I'll lead it off, fellas. I will lead it off for us this week. I got to put some pressure, Devere, on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Baker Mayfield. The Bucs have lost 7 of their last 8 games. They got a chance to pop some bottles this weekend. They beat the Carolina Panthers. They are your NFC South champs. But for Baker right now, he is turning the ball over at a pretty high clip. You look at his last 4 games, he's got 5 interceptions in those games. And so for Baker, he just needs to be cleaner. He needs to be cleaner. He's got a couple games over the last 4 to 5 where the completion percentage is at 46. It's at 55. Another one at 47 just a few weeks ago. And so for Baker, that's it. You know what's in there. He's always going to have the gunslinging mentality in him. But we've seen that kind of slow down just a little bit over the last few years. But for whatever reason, especially as of late, he can't get out of his own way. The weapons are back. I know they haven't gotten much from Chris Godwin this year, but he was coming off a significant injury. So that was always going to be a bit of an uphill climb. But this is it. You got a chance to flush away all that bad stuff by getting your team into the postseason and winning the NFC South this weekend. So I'm going Baker Mayfield and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I'm putting them on the pressure list today.
Man, I'm going to take 4 people. You talk about NFL games that mean something in the last week of the season. Oh, man, you're talking Joey Porter, Ray Lewis, Ed Reed, Troy Polamalu, Bill Cowher.
Yeah.
You know, like a real historic football game. And I got a Ravens fan here and a Steelers fan. So we got to put pressure on Aaron Rodgers, Lamar Jackson, Jim Harbaugh, and Mike Tomlin.
Okay.
The quarterback coaching duo on both sides of the ball. They've been staples in the game. Aaron Rodgers is who he is. He's solidifying legacy. Lamar is wanting to add to his legacy. Harbaugh is who he is. You feel like it might be a time for some change.
Maybe.
Some Steelers fans feel like, you know,
they've been ready to move on from Tomlin for the last couple of years.
But Mike just keeps winning.
Yeah,
and so there will be some change from one of those 4 positions after this game. It's just a lot riding on this classic AFC North matchup.
No question. Is Harbaugh and Tomlin the best head coaching rivalry in the sport, if you will? Because I'm trying to think of like another head coach on head coach matchup.
Those Bill Cowher, Marvin Lewis days were pretty good, too.
I'm talking currently, because you're right, like right now in the NFL, I can't think of another one where two guys have really been going at it for this amount of time. I mean, Harbaugh's been in Baltimore. This is his 18th year,
I believe. In a conference? No, you're not seeing that anywhere.
I think it's
in
those two.
Yeah,
I think it's those two. I can't think of anything else. So, yeah, I mean, look, man, you touched on it. The history, just these head coaches, the brands, the physicality that this game usually brings. It's nasty football.
Yeah.
Don't think we're going to get a lot of points in the game.
Yeah.
It's going to be must-see TV, man. It's going to be absolutely incredible seeing over there in Pittsburgh on Sunday night.
And don't get it twisted. Like, every NFL team can't play in a game like this. Like
it's different, man. It's a different feel. It really is, man. Like, and especially like prior to the rules changing years ago, like you mentioned the guys like Polamalu and Ray Lewis and Ed Reed, like, man, you could just feel it through the TV screen. You had to be a grown man. Yeah, you had to be built different to play in that game.
This series it's like such a physical history, man. Like, oh, I'm excited to see it.
It's a good call,
time, man.
It's a good call. Second candidate for me. It's Aaron Glenn and the New York Jets defense. Because they're about to make some history in a bad, bad way. They have not had a single interception all season long. If they don't get a pick this week, and they play the Buffalo Bills, they don't get a pick this week, Depot, they're going to be the first team in the history of the league to not rack up an interception in the regular season. Not where you want to be when we talk about history, especially Aaron Glenn that comes over from Detroit, defensive coordinator there, obviously a defensive-minded guy, to not even just luck into one pick. It's crazy. You know, guy tips a ball at the line of scrimmage. You know what I mean? It pops right into a linebacker or defensive lineman's hands. A wide receiver on the opposing team's offense, you know, bobbles the ball, goes right into your guy's hand. They're not one of those. Not one of those all season long. So I'm putting the Jets defense on the pressure list this week. You got to get a pick this week. DBs, I need you jumping routes. I don't care if you get burnt. We need that pick over there in Gotham City. So Jets defense, the secondary, that whole unit, they're on the pressure list. That way they can avoid history in a bad way.
I like that. And now some first-round picks are going to be shaping out some of these games, too. Which game is the most impactful? The
Giants game?
Okay.
Giants and whoever the Raiders are playing? Is that where we're at? I believe that's right, TLC, right? Those two teams duking it out right now?
Yeah, so it would be... We did Cowboys Giants, right?
So I'm meaning like the two teams though, right? That are
fighting for the number one.
Yeah,
pick.
I think it's the Giants and the Raiders.
Yeah, Raiders because they had the tank off last week.
Correct. Yeah, Max Crosby was not happy about that.
No, where a bunch of players were conveniently put on IR at the same time, and so we currently have Raiders at number one, and they have a 2-14 record. Then we got 4-3-13.
Where are the Browns are in that?
No, they're in 4-12, yeah. So they're currently sitting at 6.
Okay. They've got 2-1s this year. So you'll get Depot Dallas at New York, and then the Raiders will host Kansas City fight for the number one pick this weekend.
I love it. I'm going to go with my last under pressure this weekend. Orlando Brown Jr., Andrew Coker, Javon Foster, and Amarius Mims.
Okay.
And you guys know why.
Hey.
Don't be on a history clip for the rest of football history. Somebody better block 95. The left tackle and the right tackle for the Bengals. You're on the pressure list.
I think it's a good call. I think we'll probably see right similar things to what we've seen all year, but definitely last week to where Zach Taylor's going to have a tight end or two over there.
You better chip
running, running backs chipping.
Yeah.
Miles Garrett. And, it's this because there's not really that threat opposite Miles right now to consistently have to try to block.
But
right?
At this time, like, if you're, like, sending chips, you're just like, he's not getting a record on us. Like, if I'm a coach, I'm like, oh, we're going to block this guy one-on-one. Just don't get beat. Like, I wouldn't.
So you bought into what Miles was saying last week, that he said that the Steelers were more worried about him not getting the record than winning the game.
You see what I'm saying? Like, I'm not doing that. I mean, but I don't want to beat a team. It's like this. It's like, hey, man, let's get a one-on-one. I want you healthy when I get my one-on-one.
Right.
I don't want no help. I don't want anything.
I can't wait to see. I don't think they're going to give him just a runway. I don't think that's going to happen, especially with Joey B's like injury history and him being injured already this year. I don't think they're going to set nine up just to get, you know, obliterated. But we'll see, man. We'll see. I hope he gets it. I know. And then everybody will have the debate about, you know, he had the extra game to do it. Do you care about that? Like the fact that he will
so
have
TJ
the
didn't
record.
Have that game. He didn't have that game.
I don't believe he did.
They didn't extend the season when Watt beat it?
I don't think he did. Did he TLC?
He only played in 15.
Okay, so he did it in 15. Mm. And so people will poke holes into that if he gets it. I won't be one of those. Because I'm just this guy. He's been great since he stepped into the league.
If he goes for three and like extends it like so much.
Just goes crazy in the game. Then you really can't say anything. So here we are on a Football Friday. Big NFL weekend coming up. Sam Monson from the Check the Mic podcast will join us next in 2 minutes to break it all down right after the break. It's Rothman and Ice right here.
We can do more.
Enough already. We can find a cure.
Enough already.
We can do better for our kids.
Enough already. We are relying on you.
We can come together to support Children's Cancer Research Fund, a national nonprofit dedicated to ending childhood cancer that is on the front line of breakthroughs. Because
it's enough already.
Go to childrenscancer.org today.
After my accident, people warned me to slow down. I said, I don't know how. Thanks to my VA care team, I haven't.
At VA, we're using technology to help veterans recover faster and live their lives to the fullest. Learn more at vacareers.va.gov/PSA.
Rothman and Ice is sponsored by your local Pella Window and Door showroom on Gemini Parkway.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Want to jinx your favorite sports team?
Please get out of my Van Halen t-shirt before you jinx the band and they break up.
Just ask Maddie to print your shirts.
You're listening to Rothman and Ice.
Welcome back in. Gonna light up the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline right now. Bring on one of our favorites, Sam Monson from the Check the Mic podcast and show. Make sure you check that out. He and Steve do an awesome job. Sam, happy New Year. Happy Football Friday. How are you?
You too, guys. Yeah, I'm doing well. How about you?
Doing well, man. Doing well. Always excited to talk to you about everything happening around the NFL. Let's start up in Cleveland. I want to hit you with this. Do you believe that this will be Kevin Stefanski's last game coaching the Cleveland Browns?
I don't. I think that this season, I know it's gone badly in terms of record, but I think this was kind of the plan this year. If you look at the way they approach the draft, and I include, you know, drafting Shedeur Sanders, the way they let him slide and eventually took him in the fifth round, the way they traded into next year with multiple first-round draft picks now, the fact that they were willing to go into the season with Joe Flacco as the starting quarterback, I think this was kind of a sacrificial season. You know, Flacco was the starter to begin the year just to keep the veterans on side, but that was only ever going to last about a month, and we were going to turn to the rookies, Dillon Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders, and that was going to get us through this season, and next year is the year we're really focusing on the draft and trying to get the answer and move forward in the right direction. So I certainly don't think Andrew Berry is under any kind of pressure. I doubt Stefanski is, because I think that institutionally this would have been the game plan. But he would be the more vulnerable one. You know, he would be the sacrificial lamb if they decide that somebody has got to go based off the record. But I think this was kind of the plan all along.
Absolutely. Sam DeVere Posey here. Wanted to ask you about just a perspective. This Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady career are oddly similar. But when you think about Brady's errors in his first era that he had, the team kind of had an identity in terms of like the Teddy Bruschis, what they want. They drafted a Gerard Mayo backup. And, you know, and the identity of the Patriot way was around for almost 20 years. You look at Kansas City and what they've been able to do in this decade. Does Patrick Mahomes' career arc, will it mirror in his second act with the Kansas City Chiefs organization? But then you look at teams like Denver, who has just drafted a team and built it, a vertically integrated team, all from the draft, all from guys that they've homegrown. When do the Chiefs catch back on? When does this dynasty, and when do they have another decade run?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think this is a huge offseason for the Chiefs for a couple of reasons. Obviously, this is the first sort of stumble that they've had along the way in this dynasty where things have kind of fallen apart. It hasn't gone well. They've missed the playoffs. And that's a new experience for them. But number two, in the past when they failed, and by failed, I mean like, you know, lost the Super Bowl, things like that. So pretty high level of failure. But in the past, they've had like a clear direction of how to fix it. You know, the offensive line got destroyed by Tampa Bay in a Super Bowl. So they go out there and they spend huge and overhaul the offensive line. And they're like, that's never happening again. This time, I think they need to do some real work to even work out what to fix. I mean, obviously, there's a lot of things wrong with this Chiefs team, but there's no sort of clear priority one, right? Priority one is we need to spend huge money on this area. So I think they need to figure out and really be careful, you know, what do we invest in? What is the target to try and build a better football team around Patrick Mahomes and get back to where we expect to be, which is AFC championship game or better every single year.
We're talking all things NFL. Absolutely. With Sam Monta from the Check the Mic podcast. Let's go back to the AFC North, a big one on Sunday night between Baltimore and Pittsburgh. Sam, it looks like Baltimore is going to have Lamar Jackson available. Don't know if TJ Watt's going to be going in this one, but just storylines that you're looking forward to watching on Sunday night for the AFC North championship.
I think the big one is, you know, what kind of version of Lamar Jackson are we getting? Because he hasn't really looked healthy all the way through this season. He's obviously a much better quarterback than Tyler Huntley, but Tyler Huntley changed the game plan when he was in last week. You know, it became a Derrick Henry game plan. And I think that's the best version of the Baltimore Ravens this season, is if when they load up Derrick Henry with as much work as he can handle, and the quarterback becomes more of a game manager, when Lamar Jackson's in the lineup, you know, they're going to pass a lot more because he's a much better passing quarterback than Tyler Huntley. And that's fine when he's healthy and he's an MVP caliber player, but he hasn't been that guy this season. You know, he's clearly playing less than 100%, and that takes away a lot of what he's able to do in terms of escapability, in terms of sack avoidance, in terms of extending the play. All of that stuff kind of disappears, or at least is a lot less effective than it normally is. And so the Baltimore passing attack is less effective. So I think a real thing to watch is, you know, if Lamar's back in the lineup, do they go away from Derrick Henry? Because I don't think that that's helpful for them. I think the best thing they could do is try and repeat what they did a week ago and run all over the Steelers.
Absolutely. Just on the other side of the ball, the Steelers, just what is this win mean to this organization with all of these aging veterans? You talk about this team, you know, Jalen Ramsey being in town and Aaron Rodgers there and Metcalf showing up this year. And just for this group of vets, getting a win for the Steelers, could this be the momentum that they need? Because they have guys that have playoff experience. And we joke about this here in the studio that if you're going to say a quarterback going into this on the AFC side and Aaron Rodgers gets this dub this weekend, he's the only guy that's been here before, right? He's the only guy that's marched down and actually held up a trophy. So does playoff experience show, and what does this lead to the future of the Steelers if it's a loss?
Yeah, I think if it's a loss, you know, this could be trouble for Mike Tomlin in terms of, you know, a lot of pressure for his job going into this offseason if they don't make the playoffs. If they do, you're right. Like, we're a week removed from the Steelers actually looking like they turned a corner, headed in the right direction. We're starting to look like a much better and much more dangerous football team for whoever they would be hosting in the playoffs. Like, remember, whoever wins this game is going to be hosting a playoff game, wow, not just being in the playoffs. And then it all kind of disappeared against Cleveland, and we're back to fire Mike Tomlin. It's the same old Steelers every year. Like, it's unraveling. So I think it's big for them to get there. Obviously, they would get DK Metcalf back as well if they make it to the playoffs. And that's, you know, he transforms this offense. He's the only high level kind of wide receiver that they have on that roster. So I think they are a different proposition with him in the lineup. But he's not going to be here for this game. So, yeah, I think, you know, if they could just win this game, get to the playoffs, get DK Metcalf back, but then they're definitely going to be up against it against a very good wildcard team that's going to be coming to town. And, you know, Mike Tomlin has done that dance before as well. Like, this is a team that's been to the playoffs quite a bit and failed when they've played that first game.
We got two teams right now, Sam, as you know, in the AFC South that are cooking with some hot grease. The Houston Texans have won 8 in a row. The Jags have won 7 in a row. Looking at their body of work currently, whose product do you like more? Who is showing more of a complete unit here at the moment?
Yeah, I mean, I think obviously they're both absolutely cooking, as you said. The Jags are the team, though, that don't have the glaring flaw. The Texans' defense is amazing. You know, they've got a lot of good things working as well. But that offensive line is still a problem. It's not the worst offensive line in the NFL anymore, but it's still a weakness. And, you know, there's a lot of good defenses in the playoffs and maybe a couple that are good enough to really attack that offensive line and kind of render that offense a little bit in a bad situation. I don't think you can say the Jags have one of those weaknesses. You know, their defense is good. Their offense is good. Suddenly Trevor Lawrence is playing really good football as well. They are a complete team at this point, unless Trevor Lawrence goes back to being a kind of average quarterback instead of a real star that he's been in the last month. So if Lawrence can continue that uptick in form, I think the Jags are the complete package that nobody is really talking about right now.
Absolutely, Sam. It's for me, who grew up in the 90s, I love that the NFC North has good quarterbacks again, right? And you think about just the Lions and what they've been able to do over the years, this collection of talent. Has the air been let out the window behind Ben Johnson? You know, just with this Lions team, the fall off, and not to say the fall off, because there's not really many key injuries that would say, like, oh, this is why this team missed the playoffs. You know, they've been a pillar and they missed. But no, it's just what's happening in Detroit, and has the guard change officially for the NFC North?
Yeah, I mean, you know, that remember the first thing Dan Campbell said after they lost the NFC Championship game at his press conference was, you know, we may never get back here again. Like, it's hard to be this good in the NFL. Sure, yeah. And he may be right. You know, it's not that the Lions are suddenly this terrible team or that their Super Bowl, you know, their contending window has disappeared. Like, this is still a very good roster that could easily bounce back next year and you know, contend again. But I think you're just learning how hard it is to be elite every single year. And one of the reasons is because you lose your coaches, because they lost both coordinators in an offseason, because this had been a good team for multiple years. And, you know, the rest of the NFL hires coaches away from good football teams. And I think absolutely, look, Ben Johnson had been maybe the hottest coach name available, like, for the last sort of few years. And he'd stayed in Detroit every one of those years. Finally, the Bears were able to lure him away. And all of a sudden, now you're seeing the impact that he's having on Chicago. And I think you're right. You're seeing the flip side of that impact on Detroit, his absence, the lack of Ben Johnson there. And it's definitely a thing. And now Detroit is going to have an offseason to figure out how they, you know, reinforce and how they come back and try and pick up that slack that Ben Johnson left behind.
We'll get you out of here on this one. Between the Patriots and the Denver Broncos, they've racked up 26 wins this year. Of those two, Sam, who is the more dangerous postseason team in your mind?
Oof. I mean, look, Denver's defense is good enough that they could take that team all the way to a Super Bowl, and the offense is definitely capable of having stretches where it can win in a shootout. The Patriots look like a really good football team, but they've had an absolute cakewalk of a schedule. And that doesn't mean they're not, but it means we don't really have a good idea. They've been playing the season on easy mode. They've had really three tests in the season, the two games against Buffalo, and then the Ravens played a pretty good football game when they played them. And, you know, they haven't won all those tests. So I think it's going to be, we're not going to know what this Patriots team is until the playoffs, when they face the better teams all the time, every single week. And I think that's going to be an interesting thing to watch. Like, can they maintain the same level of good play when the difficulty level gets notched up, not just one, but like probably two levels?
He's Sam Monson from the Check the Mic show and podcast. Sam, again, appreciate your time. As always, have a great weekend, man. We'll catch up with you soon.
You too, guys. Take it easy.
Sam joined us via the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. We got a Buckeye Bulletin coming up next. An interesting portal nugget just came out. Maybe some defensive help could be on the way for next year's team. And also, Cam Newton gave his take on more of a disappointment, Ohio State or Alabama. You'll hear his take next. It's Rothman and Ice right here on The Fan.
We're the highest-rated sports radio station in America. There's no joke there. We just are. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Some journeys start small, with small pause and big purpose.
Look how little you are, sweet girl.
Every great partnership begins with the first step.
Bella, let's go.
guiding them through the world so one day they can guide someone through life. With shared experience, confidence grows, and the path becomes clear. It takes time, patience, and love. But the reward lasts a lifetime.
Hey, good girl, Bella.
You don't just raise a puppy. You raise a future. Become a Dogs, Inc. puppy raiser. Give a dog a purpose. Give someone hope.
Learn more at dogsinc.org.
I always tell people I was the luckiest guy in the world. I wanted to be an army man or a fireman, and I got to do both. As a firefighter, my job was about saving lives. I never thought one day I would be fighting for mine.
After spending his career answering the call to save others, Ken was diagnosed with ALS. Now he's facing his biggest battle, for more time. For 70 years, Muscular Dystrophy Association has been answering the call to help people live longer and more independent lives.
MDA means to me hope.
MDA is leading the way for people living with ALS, muscular dystrophy, and other neuromuscular diseases by accelerating research, advancing care, and advocating to empower families like Ken's.
I wouldn't be living as good of a life with ALS if it wasn't for MDA. MDA is helping people live stronger and love longer. Learn more at MDA.org today.
Statistics show that roughly 20 veterans die by suicide every day in the United States. Canines for Warriors is the leading nonprofit organization providing highly trained service dogs to veterans with PTSD and other invisible wounds of war. Backed by scientific research, Canines for Warriors has transformed the lives of more than 1,000 veterans, helping them reclaim their independence. To find out more, please visit caninesforwarriors.org.
It's 20 year home appraisal after we put away our African art and family photos.
Has this happened to you because of race or national origin? Contact HUD at hud.gov/fairhousing. A message from HUD and the National Fair Housing Alliance.
If only there was a radio show that constantly talked about Ohio State athletics. Well, good news. It's real, baby. The Buckeye Show.
Weeknights at 6.
Proud to be your flagship home of the Buckeyes. The Fan. Ohio's sports destination. All your favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan. Ohio sports destination. Rothman and Ice present Buckeye Bulletin.
Sponsored by Logan AC and Heat Services.
Don't go through another furnace breakdown.
For fast, friendly service, call the experts at Logan Services now for a free estimate and next day furnace installation.
All right, Depot, let's knock out a Buckeye Bulletin. Devere Posey in the building today for AR. I mean, as you know now, just the portal is always popping. The transfer portal is always moving and grooving. Look, it really, you got to get in, man. You got to get in and out. I think I saw a report today that there's over 1,000 players already in the transfer portal.
That's sad.
Across the landscape. It is kind of sad. But that's where these guys are at. They're chasing opportunities. I'm sure they're chasing money, like all of those things. And so I get it. Before we mention a guy that's going to visit Ohio State on the defensive side of the ball in that linebacking room, got to give some love to Sonny Styles, man. Like, this guy now leaving to go to the NFL.
He declared
the career. I don't believe he's declared. Yeah, but I'm assuming that's going to happen.
They haven't declared, so don't say they declared him.
I just think where those
they're Buckeyes right now.
Where their status is. I think they're gone.
They're probably training.
I think they're gone. Yeah. Right. Yeah,
they're working on that 40.
Just the transition that Sonny made from safety to linebacker last year with Cody, this year with Arvell Reese and Pearson and the guys we've seen him play with, man. He just looks the part, and I'm not going to be surprised at all if he makes an impact in the league sooner rather than later. So I just wanted to mention
best
that.
Best football is ahead of that guy.
Yeah.
Best football, because you talk about those transitions. You weren't the best safety your freshman year because you're a freshman safety, and then you're not the best linebacker your sophomore year. It's your first year playing linebacker. This year, this is his first time playing the same position at the college level back-to-back, and he didn't miss a tackle, guys.
He's everywhere.
He's trending in the right direction. If you're an NFL scout, the number one thing you ask for somebody, you say, hey, what's his pedigree like? Pedigree comes up at the combine more than any other question
you know, obviously birth date and name and address, but pedigree, like who in your family played in the NFL. He's going to be able to write down two names. Yeah. And, and I just think when you really break him down combine profile-wise, it's going to be hard for him not to make it out of the top 20, because you're going to fall in love with the player, the person,
body and when type, you turn on all
the,
of it.
Yeah, the
all
size. Of it. All and when you turn on the film, it's just like, and then just a community guy.
Yeah.
He's going to go checks, top 15.
He's checking all the boxes, I think is what you're saying. So, yeah, to your point, I agree with you. He probably won't be waiting long when we get to the to the draft. And so, because we think that, you know, Sonny Styles won't be waiting long at the NFL draft, that's going to open up some doors, maybe for some guys in-house. Or maybe some guys that are in the transfer portal. And I believe this guy entered the portal either yesterday or the day before. But now former Pittsburgh linebacker Rasheem Biles is scheduled to make a visit to Ohio State. And so, Depot second team All-ACC, fourth in the conference in tackles last year, this past season. And for Biles, this obviously has to be a very attractive landing spot because of, one, who your coach would be, right? And our guy James Laurinaitis. But also just the talent, how in and out the last couple of years, that position has really been on the ascent with last year's unit, this year's unit, and the history that this program has at that position.
Yeah, and I think he's looking. You turn on that game, by the way, their freshman quarterback is super fun to watch. He's going to be a great player next
year.
He's got something to him. He's an Ohio kid, too. And so I'm watching that one of those games. And Biles, he flies off of the screen in terms of tracking the ball down, obviously filling gaps, in the screen game. He's really effective.
Yeah.
And I think like that ball tracking, how we were talking about Sonny not missing tackles, nothing against Pettyjohn or Pierce. I just think a veteran in that place is what you know this visit could all be about. And he is that ball hawking Sonny. Did you see Sonny's tackle behind the line of scrimmage? Yeah. We need that guy. You don't want that to go missing again. And Blouse does that for Pittsburgh.
Real quick, want to mention this. It looks like Pete Nakos is reporting from On3 that the visit will happen on Monday. Some of the other numbers he racked up in the ACC. Led the ACC with 17 tackles for loss, over 100 tackles, 4.5 sacks, and 2 pick sixes on the year, too. So see ball, get ball, to your point. It seems like he's got some of that in his football DNA. TLC, you got some sound you want to spin for us. What do you got cooked up over there?
Yeah, so First Take had a topic, shocking, that Ohio State and Alabama, who was the bigger disappointment in the first round now that we have more information? Because at first, obviously, Ohio State's all we had New Year's Eve, New Year's Day. We have three more losers, so Cam Newton, who's more disappointing, Ohio State or Alabama?
I'm going to go with Ohio State, and we already know, and we've seen the signs leading up to the point of Coach Kalen DeBoer and the Alabama's team. So I'm not surprised there. I'm surprised that here's a team all year that has been the consensus number one team. This has been a team that has had the explosive offense. This is the team that had all these guys coming back with an All-American secondary, with a defensive coordinator that, you know, obviously was dominant in the NFL as well. And then all of a sudden, these last two games, you go 0-2, and you show signs of like, no, not this team, not the team that was dominant and supposed to steamroll everybody, not the team that has the best player arguably in college football in the super sophomore and Jeremiah Smith, who probably has the outright best receivers on any roster in the college football. So now you start to say, hey, Coach Ryan Day, what do you call success? Last year, you lose to Michigan, but you win the national championship. This year, you beat Michigan and you lose in the college football playoffs. Highly disappointed in Ohio State and Ryan Day, because the expectations was to be national championship or bust. You don't even get a Big Ten championship, let alone anything. So now that's the biggest question for me.
You agree with that?
It's an interesting perspective that doesn't have any bias on it. And just a good national look at, hey, Buckeye fans, but do you want to lose to Michigan and win a national championship, or would you rather beat Michigan and lose a national championship, but not win a Big Ten championship? There's so many like things on that plate. And then there's the other option of beat Michigan, win Big Ten championship, and not.
We put out a poll yesterday on the show.
Yeah,
it was a landslide, right, TLC?
89-11.
What, beat Michigan, not win Natty?
Yeah, so basically.
So we're happy.
What are you more set? Now, we asked this, you know, timing is everything. We asked this the day after Ohio State lost to Miami, but we said, which season were you more satisfied with, 2024 or 2025? With the gist being 2024 lose to Michigan, win the championship. 2025 being beat Michigan, don't win the championship. And shockingly, 89% of people said that they were more satisfied with the championship season than they were with the Michigan season.
You see,
how we call it.
You see how it's convenient and it's circumstantial, Buckeye fans? That's where we get ripped on the most, because we're convenient and circumstantial. Because last year we weren't saying that.
It was a pocket of the fan base for sure that was in the yeah, but crowd.
Oh.
Like, yeah, this Natty was great, but, you know, I can't get over the Michigan. Exactly. And I was...
The older crowd who was used to, like, no Big Ten championship game even existing.
Yes. Yeah. I wasn't in that crowd. I'm like, you won the whole darn thing.
Guys still playing in bowl games without opting out.
Yeah, I'll tell it last year.
You don't want this.
Yeah.
You don't. Yes, you beat your rival. You want to do that every year. But losing the way that they lost, like, I think if you lose in the semis, it feels a little better. But the quarters and the way it looked and felt. Yeah, I would take last year all day and tomorrow.
And I think even just this Michigan win felt good for the times that Michigan teams were better than ours and beat us.
Yeah.
But I don't think like that was like a Michigan win that's like, man, I didn't think we could have beat that team.
It was impressive, though, man. It was. But to your point,
for sure.
It didn't feel like they were on the same level. It didn't feel that way. It felt like more
of an embarrassment for Michigan, which is a win for Ohio State
fans.
No question.
Yeah.
But it felt like more of an embarrassment for Michigan.
Yes.
And you didn't know this at the time, but knowing now that like Sharon Moore was like in the DMs at halftime and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And so it's like...
You can't even take that much credit. It's like, he wasn't even focused anyway. He's texting Holy Fan.
Exactly.
Only 7 miles in the stands. That's crazy.
That is a win for Ohio State, but not in the sense of like... Not like the Kyle McCord game where it came down to the last drive and then there's a key intercept and not like that.
No.
So still waiting on one of those, but hey, still.
You'll take it.
For sure.
You'll take it all day. You'll take it all day.
Top beat Miami next time and
there you go.
Then we'll really take it.
No question. Top of the hour after an update. We finally entered 2026. We're going to cook up our own 2026 sports wish list. A few things we want to see happen on the sports calendar this year. We'll do it next. It's Rothman and Ice right here on The Fan.
We test marketed naming the show A Guy and His Butlers.
Oh, that is very touching.
But we thought Bishop and Friends had a better ring to it.
Weekday mornings at 9.
The Fan.
13-year NFL veteran and Super Bowl champion Jason McCourty here. And I'm an innovation ambassador at FAIR. Food Allergy and Research Education. I would say the most challenging thing as a parent of a kid who has a food allergy is probably the ignorance that I myself had in the beginning. I didn't know what anaphylactic shock was. I didn't know the dangers, let alone the things that she needed to be able to have a normal life. When you go to drop your kid off, on every single time in the beginning, we'd have to go through everything she was allergic to. Preparation is everything. And me, for playing football for 13 years, it was all throughout the course of the week, is getting ready for game day. When you're on the field, you're playing for your fans. At home, you're playing for your family. My playbook, read labels, keep it allergy friendly, and have an epinephrine nasal spray as a backup plan. Because when my family's safe from food allergens, that's the real victory. Visit foodallergy.org to learn more.
Hey, Max, you look absolutely dashing in that purple tie. Ready to harness the world?
You bet, Daisy. I'm ready as I'll ever be. And might I say, your purple tie really pops with your vest.
Thanks. I almost went with a cape, but didn't want to come across as pretentious.
Nonsense. Anyone in our line of work should rock a cape.
You might be onto something, Max.
Phew. So, here we go. First day on the job. You've got this, right?
Right. Don't forget, we both graduated from Dogs, Inc. with honors.
Which means I can guide my human around a busy city with ease.
And I can give my human a restful night.
I hope my human is kind and loving.
And I hope mine likes wet kisses and zoomies.
Ready to make a difference?
Born ready. Let's go. Discover how extraordinary dogs like Daisy and Max change lives at no cost to the recipients. Visit dogsinc.org.
Around the world, Children International and friends like you are giving children in poverty a chance to grow and thrive, to be healthy, to succeed in school, and achieve great things. How do we do it? In the best way possible, by helping ensure access to healthcare, nutrition, and educational opportunities, and most importantly,
by empowering youths and their families to get out of poverty and into employment through life skills, computer, and job training. The very tools they need to break the cycle of poverty and build futures full of promise. Because every child deserves a chance to realize their full and best potential. Learn more about how Children International is empowering children and families by going to children.org today. That's children.org.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios, driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good afternoon. I'm Ryan Baker. To the surprise of no one, Columbus Blue Jackets defenseman Zach Werenski was named to Team USA for the upcoming Winter Olympics this morning. Werenski, who has been out with injury since December 20th, is expected to play tomorrow when the CBJ hosts the Buffalo Sabres at 3. Recently acquired winger Danton Heinen will make his Jackets debut. The team today placed defenseman Brendan Smith on IR with a lower body injury. You can hear that game tomorrow right here on The Fan beginning at 2:30. Tonight on The Fan, you can hear the Ohio State men's basketball team for the first time in 10 days as they head to Rutgers at 8. The Fan warm-up show with Brandon Beam gets underway at 7. Network coverage begins at 7:15. 10 games on tap in the NBA tonight, including the Cleveland Cavaliers hosting the Denver Nuggets at 7:30. The college football transfer portal window opened this morning, and 12 scholarship Buckeyes so far have entered.
Most shows just skim the surface, but Rothman and Ice feel like the biggest story of the day deserves a closer look. It's time for A Deeper Dive.
Sponsored by Low T Center. Low T Center, reinventing men's healthcare.
All right, welcome back in. Hour number three of the program. Bottom of the hour, Cam Meller. We'll talk all things college football with him. He does a great job covering the sport over at the Pro Football Network. So we'll get his thoughts on Ohio State, quarterfinals of the playoff, what's next in the semis, the coaching changes around the sport, a lot going on, as always, in the world of CFB. All right, so look, man, we're in 2026. It's crazy. It's crazy. I remember when the varsity jacket had the 09 on it, Depot. Like, we're unks now. Like, we're real unks at this point. It's crazy. Yes. Just the years and how they're flying by for sure. And so looking ahead, the year to come, we're going to cook up a wish list. All three of us, we got three things on our sports wish list, things that we want to see all year long. And so who wants to lead it off?
I got a lot of stuff on.
Okay, if you got a lot of stuff,
I got five things I want to see happen this year.
Go ahead and cook, man. Okay. Do your thing.
I want to see
Let's pass it around.
All right, cool.
You, me, and back around.
First one, I want to see OSU Hoops make the Sweet 16 this year.
Oh, I like this one.
I like that. That's what I got.
I feel like we
got
to take baby steps on that one. Let's have it.
You asked me what I wanted to see.
His wish list.
It's my wish list.
You know what I mean?
They could get hot. Bruce could have senior point guard tournament moment. That's all. And that's possible.
He's looking the part again this year. I mean, to no surprise, he is looking the part. People start really locking in on them for sure. I got a game tonight as well over on Peacock, I believe. But you can, you know, obviously listen to everything right here on The Fan. I'm going to stick in the world of basketball, but I'm going to the NBA.
Yeah.
It's time for him to come on back home.
You want to see Bron come
home?
Yeah.
Let's just finish it in Cleveland.
Oh, please.
Let's finish it in Cleveland.
Leave him alone out in L.A. Like, don't end like this.
No, you don't want to go out there in L.A. I don't even care if it's a one-year deal.
Don't ruin your relationship with JJ. You guys had a good pod.
It was good.
It's good. Steve Nash took over, though.
Yeah, that's a good one, too. Yeah. It's crazy. Like, I always, whenever I see that, it's just, I remind myself, the access we have now to these athletes, it's so good. Like, LeBron James is breaking down basketball, and you can get, like, that's crazy to think now, right?
Kids can get that.
Right. Like, when we were growing, you had none of that stuff.
The only thing I had was that Chad Johnson, Antonio Brown, Andre Johnson, Santana Moss workout that I, like, watched over and over. And it was on a grainy video.
Yeah. But you watch, like, Nash and LeBron, they're putting up the tape, and it's like, man, it's unbelievable. Now, if you're a kid growing up right now, you have no excuse, really, to get better, right?
I like
mentally. But, yeah, I want to see Bron come back. Okay. He's going to be a free agent at the end of this year. The Cavs are a team that feels like they need a little bit more pop there. The talent is good.
Yep.
I think they can go to another level. I'm a sucker for these type of things. And he still, I think, would have some good things to offer the team. So I want him to do the retirement tour as a Cav next year. That's first on my wish list. Go ahead, TLC.
First on my wish list, I was texting friends the day after Ohio State beat Notre Dame saying 2026 is our year. And now that Marcus Freeman is putting out these tweets, hey, let's run it back for 2026, as if he's some player with one final year of eligibility. Yeah. It's kind of feeling like it's now or never. Mm-hmm. And if Notre Dame doesn't win the championship in my it doesn't win the championship in 2026, I'm going to be having those questions. Will I ever see one?
Ooh.
And so we got a lot of talent coming back. Obviously, the whole Notre Dame was 4 points away from being undefeated. Could have won. We really could have won the A&M game. Miami was better than us, but still a close game at the end. But a couple of those plays that could have flipped those games, 2026, make those plays.
Okay.
Win those games and run the table.
I like that. I think a lot of good sporting games this fall, but nothing had my son in front of the TV watching a sport for the first time. In 2026, I want to see a rematch of the Toronto Blue Jays versus the LA Dodgers.
Wow. That was a great World Series.
See it back in blood for the Blue Jays. They got to get it back. Like, I mean, you, bro, Maddie, that was a good
It was. I mean, it's always like kind of knee-jerk in the moment. It's the best World Series I've ever seen.
Nah, I got to see it part two.
It's got to be up there. I mean, just the game. So everything that happened, it's easy to forget how much crazy things that happened and how many close plays happened in that series that could have swung things back and forth. Yeah, it was absolutely incredible. Kind of had that U.S. versus Canada vibe. Oh, like, man, all of it,
right?
Just
good.
Star power everywhere. It was really, really good. Second one for me. It's time for my boy, the tribal chief, Roman Reigns, to get back on top.
Okay. Yeah, he's winning the belt again.
TLC, I hear you moaning and groaning over there.
Sorry, open mic night.
You better acknowledge your tribal chief and come on over to the island of relevancy. It's been too long. Roman's at that point, right? Remember when The Rock got real big?
Yeah.
Real big, and you could feel that he was kind of on his way out because the movies were a calling and all of that.
Yep.
That's where Roman is at right now. Yeah. But we need another championship reign. I need the bloodline to get things back in order. The Usos have handled their business.
Yep.
They're tag team champs right now. But it's time for everybody to throw the ones back up. Because when Roman's back on top, it just feels right.
Yeah.
He's the face of sports entertainment. So Roman Reigns, sooner rather than later, it's time to get the belt back and run WWE again. That's on my wish list to start off 2026. Acknowledge your tribal chief, TLC, whether you like it or not.
All right, I got one. I want for 2026, I want the world to officially decide that Shedeur Sanders is not good. Because I am sick and tired. And now I've absolutely taken part in it too. If you go on my Twitter account, there's evidence there. Every single week, everybody's gathering on the internet of doing the whole, oh, Shedeur Sanders, he's not very good. Oh, no, he's really underrated. Like, we cannot be doing week by week by week, play by play of every single Shedeur Sanders play and trying to figure out whether or not he's awesome or whether or not Stefanski's tanking it for him. I've played the game. I'm sick and tired of that game. I'm sick and tired of Josina Anderson trying to do what Nick Wright and LeBron did for Nick Wright's career. We gotta move on and talk about somebody else. I don't want to hear anybody saying, I want Shedeur Sanders to play for a coach that actually wants him because every other team didn't draft him five times over. So we gotta have a decision on Shedeur Sanders. Is he good? Is he not? I prefer not because I want this to go away so we can talk about something else.
I got bad news for you.
We're not going to stop talking about him.
Probably not going.
Yeah, I know.
Because even if he gets moved to another team,
and you know what,
that's going to be the storyline.
And the draft's not going to work for me because the Browns may not draft a quarterback. They may not be in position. They're only two anymore. Right. There were supposed to be six, and now we only got two quarterbacks in this draft.
I know. I mean, interesting, and who hasn't entered that plot line is, what do you do with a healthy Deshaun Watson? Right, and so like that hasn't even entered the plot line.
Paying money, apparently.
Well, he's been making a lot, but that has to happen too. So my last thing I got two things, and I'll be done. Well, I'll sweep this in there because this my next one is better that I want to see. What I want to see happen is the invite to the 2028 Olympics flag football team tryout show up in my inbox.
Oh, I like this.
Yeah. Now, I want that.
Oh, I like this.
Because I'm not gonna do it. You guys gotta ask me. If you ask me in 2026,
okay,
I would like to tap. And then so my last thing that I wanna see in 2026, bro. I want Netflix to fly to Philip Rivers' house and say, Philip Rivers, fix that beer belly. You went out there and played without you. You obviously didn't train. Let's see if Phillip Rivers can just get in shape for the unks and play in next season as a backup just for the unks. Just so you say, hey, there's a guy that got off the couch. And you know what he also does in 2026? He continues to coach that state championship team.
Yeah.
He's there on Fridays. Yeah. And then you fly back, Phillip. Mm-hmm. You can do it.
Okay.
Do it for the unks,
Maddie. I like that. I like that. So you're saying he maybe in the past was wearing a large jersey.
Maybe.
When we saw him this year, maybe it was an XL.
And then two, yeah. To be honest with you.
Three. And he had the sleeves on that baby.
Oh, man.
No tight. Hey, I don't want any tight sleeves. I don't want to create any tightness around his chest, shoulder area. Man, but that story.
It was wild, man. Crazy. The grandpa starting in the NFL.
Wow. A tear came out of my eyes watching that. Yeah. Like, bro, like, I love this year of football for this to happen.
And to see him get emotional after the game and, like, how he restarted his Hall of Fame clock and all that. You can't help but respect it,
have you seen
man.
The mic'd up of him?
I haven't. I gotta
he
go
said, stinking, yeah.
Because he doesn't cuss. His whole career.
So good.
He's never cussed, man. It's good. So I'm sticking at the quarterback position, too, because one of my favorite things to watch in the NFL growing up was the Brady, Manning, Big Ben, Drew Brees, that era.
Yeah.
And so my wish list for 2026 is that we get Burrow, Lamar, Josh Allen, and Pat Mahomes all healthy for an entire season.
Good list.
Because to me, when those guys are cooking at their highest form, that's when the sport right now is at its peak. Because these guys are in their prime. These guys can do a lot of things quarterbacks can't do around the league. They all got different skill sets. But that's what I really want to see, is just Burrow, Lamar, Mahomes, and Allen duke it out and all those guys be healthy for 2026. Because it reminds me of what I watched growing up when Brady and Peyton and all those guys were just cooking.
I like the four pillars. Be all there.
Yep.
All season long.
I got a few. I will blitz through them real quick. I will say, I'm laughing because the first one was, I hope the Chiefs are truly done. I hope that we don't look back on this one season. Hey, remember that, like, the Tom Brady, like, Matt Castle year? It's like, remember that one year in the middle of their, like, 20-year dynasty that we all forgot about? I hope this isn't that. I hope they are truly done. Yeah. This may be more of a 2027 topic. I hope the MLB lockout next year is not embarrassingly long to where this will be a 2026 issue later, which will bleed into 2027. And the NBA All-Star Game, they're doing the NBA USA versus World. I really, really like that. But I hope that after this round where they have the USA team split into two, I hope they have some guts and actually say, hey, we're not afraid of losing, even though the USA might actually lose, and set it up for the 2027 year to have one USA team, one world team, and put them heads up against each other and, you know, winner take
all. I like it.
Because right now you have the built-in excuse of, you know, well, we split the USA team, so if the world beats them, then, you know, the USA, we didn't have our full guys on one roster. No. Do it.
I got to take that we should just be done with any all-star activities in every sport.
MLB's good.
We don't need them.
MLB's good.
Yeah. The All-Star Game, it's the best.
That's a real baseball game.
I think if all of them went away, I don't think we miss them. I don't. I just don't think we need All-Star activities. Everybody could take a week off and be fine.
Well, in college, they would do the All-American thing, and then, like, you would go and take a picture.
Yeah.
And, like, it would be like, I don't know if you guys remember it, but it was like this All-American picture that came out. Everybody had their jerseys on, and I was like.
Yeah. I know what you're talking about.
Picture,
yeah, I know.
Right? Did you play in the Army game?
Yep. And so it's for college.
Yeah.
We don't have an All-Star game, and it's fine.
Right? I agree. I don't think we need it. Honorable mention, let's be done with 6-7. Hey, coming up next, and Pre-Stat Reads will finish out our NFL picks for the week. It's Rothman and Ice right here on The Fan.
Never have I been so excited to get a whiff of sweaty jock straps.
It's Football Friday.
Sponsored by Tansky Sawmill Toyota.
Yay, Football, The Fan.
Men, it's the new...
Hey there, Jane Lynch here. You want to hear something funny? Too bad. You want to hear something uplifting that will inspire you? Good. Because today, I want to talk to you about Direct Relief, a humanitarian organization that does seriously good work when it counts. Fires, hurricanes, earthquakes. When disaster strikes, Direct Relief immediately shows up with medicines, medical supplies, and everything doctors and nurses need to save lives. Let's ship her out! Every day across the United States and around the world, they're making an enormous difference. If someone needs help, Direct Relief helps. No politics, no red tape. Hey, what you doing over there?
Oh, I'm packing insulin for kids with diabetes.
See, every box here is literally a lifeline for someone in critical need. So check them out at directrelief.org. You might just bring a smile to someone's face.
Wounded Warrior Project helps post 9/11 veterans and their families realize what's possible. With support and resources that bring warriors together and empower them to become stronger, both inside and out.
It's possible to begin healing,
to get the help you need,
to find peace.
And as each warrior's needs evolve, so do we. Because these last 20 years are just the beginning. Learn more at woundedwarriorproject.org/possible.
Hi, I'm Connie Britton. I support Feeding America because they help provide over 6 billion meals to people in need each year. Learn more at feedingamerica.org. Feeding America, 200 food banks strong.
Love football, love wings. Put those bad boys together and you get Austin and Bird live at Roosters.
Presented by Bryant Heating and Cooling.
Large amounts of football and all the ducky sauce you can handle. Mondays on the Fans YouTube channel. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Mostly sunny skies are expected here for your Friday with high temperatures around 30 this afternoon. Winds out of the northwest at 5 to 10 miles per hour. And then for the weekend, we're still tracking highs around the lower 30s here on Saturday and Sunday. But looking at a mix of clouds and sunshine with more clouds on Saturday than Sunday. And that's a look at your 10 weather impact forecast. I'm meteorologist Aaron White here on 97.1 The Fan.
Bet365, the official online sports book of Rothman and Ice.
Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365.
The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Rothman and Ice present Pre-Snap Reads.
Sponsored by Newman Roofing.
Call Newman Roofing today at 614-NEW-ROOF. That's 614-NEW-ROOF.
Or visit online at newmanroofing.com.
All right, before we knock out some pre-snap reads, let me talk to you about Bet365. Because listen closely, if you're looking for a new sports book, this is the place you need to be. Because at Bet365, for new customers, they are taking care of you, where all you have to do is bet $5. Soon after that, you're getting $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could take that $150 and turn it into something bigger and better, folks, after you bet on spreads, totals, money lines, or player props. Depot, I'm looking at the Cavs and the Nuggets tonight. Denver coming into town against the Cavs. Feel bad for a lot of people because, you know, on this side of the country, you're buying tickets for this game in anticipation to see Nikola Jokic, arguably the best player in the league, and he's out right now. That's tough. I feel for the kids, right, because there's probably a lot of Jokic kids out there that are fans of his, but he won't play. But who will be playing is Donovan Mitchell, and he has been shooting the rock well from three. I like the value on 5 3-pointers tonight for D. Mitchell at plus 200 tonight at home. So I'm going to go Donovan Mitchell, 5 3-balls in a game that I think they're going to get up and down a little bit, and I still think Denver is going to have a nice little offensive pop to them led by Jamal Murray. I think the Cavs are going to win this game, but I'm going Spider Mitchell, 5 3-balls plus 200 tonight up there. I still call it the Q. I know it's not the Q, but, you know, I miss Austin Carr. So, you know, deep in the Q. Like, I miss
now
all
it's the
of
rock.
That. Now it's the Rock.
Rock
yeah.
and Morgan.
And he
rock
tries to do it, like, deep in the Rock, and it doesn't hit the same. Love Austin Carr, but
the Rock means something else to you.
Don't do that.
Wait. No, see, no, wait, what?
Don't
that was a wrestling.
Don't do that.
Oh, okay.
Don't do that. I smell what he's cooking, but I know what you tried to do.
No,
he's slick.
No,
he's slick.
That
was
slick.
Even a deeper one.
He's
no,
slick.
See,
yeah.
if Rothman said it, he would have meant it that way. I meant it in wrestling terms.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply. In-app only.
May the odds be ever in your favor.
All right, TLC, let's round out NFL picks.
Yeah, so I told you that we had a loaded 4 o'clock slate, which is good because usually there are like 3 games, but we actually have some football to bounce between. Jets and Bills. Bills are going to be -7.5. I think this is like round 3 or 4 for Brady Cook.
Crazy, right? Where are the Jets going to go
by
at the quarterback position?
Yeah. Jets set the record for the worst point differential in the history of December this year.
Crazy.
Got to get it right this year,
though. Is Aaron Glenn going to be 1 and done?
It's going to be tough. Well, no.
You think they're running back?
Rule of 2.
Oh,
he's going to get 2.
Okay.
But quarterback for the Jets, you have to get it right. I believe they went free agent last year. fail, boom. And so now you've got to draft a quarterback, but it has to be the guy that, like, it just has to be right. And so for me, if I'm the Jets, I'm doing everything I can to get Dante Moore or Fernando Mendoza. It's just like, it has to, like, you got to be right. And then also from a perspective, too, it's like, you definitely want to go older for the Jets because you look how that played for Bo Nix. You look how that played for Jaden Daniels.
Yeah.
Immediate franchise turnaround goes with upperclassmen, probably even super senior type of numbers for Aaron Glenn.
I won't be surprised if we see more of that in the NFL because of what I think NIL can do to the sport. And keep these guys maybe around college an extra year or two because financially, obviously, they're getting taken well care of at a high clip. And then they're just more seasoned, right? Like, once you get to the league, so to your point about Jaden and then Bo Nix, those dudes played a lot of ball.
Yep.
They played a lot of ball. I'll lay the points,
Caleb
though.
Played a lot of ball, too.
He did. He did. I'll lay the points and roll with Buffalo in this one.
Let's go Lions-Bears. The Bears are going to be -3 in Soldier Field.
Whew, good year for the Bears, man. I mean, great year for the Bears. Just as far as where expectations were.
Yeah.
To start the year, I don't think I didn't see this coming, not at all.
You,
so
you remember we did the show? We did the best receiver cores.
Yeah, I do remember
you
that.
The Bears,
they were on my list.
Yeah.
They were on my list because I like the addition of Luther Burden with Moore and Adunze and even Loveland, as if you want to count that.
He's counted this year.
No question. So yeah, I love that Ben Johnson came in. He's got an energy to him.
Yeah.
He's got that blanket energy. Like, hey, he's got some edge. Like, I don't care if you don't like us. We're gonna do our thing. I like that from a head coach.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go with the Bears in this one, man. I'm gonna go with the Bears at home. They got some real confidence right now, and I'm picking up what they're putting down.
Bears going to finish the season strong. Obviously, this team is playing lights out. So I don't see that stopping. And you don't want to finish the season with a loss after a type of season. So this has been.
Trey Lance, start getting loose because you're up this Sunday. The Chargers are going to Denver. Denver's playing for the one seed, though, which is why they are playing their players. At least I assume that's the case when the spread is 12.5.
Yep. Man, it's going to be a long day for Trey Lance. It's not a favorable matchup. Being the motivation that Denver has is to lock this thing up and make sure the AFC comes through the altitude of the Rocky Mountains down there in Colorado. They're gonna want to lock that in, and I think it's gonna be at the expense of Trey Lance. So I'm gonna go with the Broncos.
Yeah, it's tough. Yeah, he is in a tough spot, right? Because I mean, Justin Herbert's been getting beat up. The offensive line just hasn't been good in front of him. So they're like, hey, we're gonna put you on ice for a little bit, right? You just need to go ahead and rest. Shout out to the former Buckeye Jonathan Cooper.
Balling.
8 sacks right now for Denver, second on their team. And so because of what you guys mentioned, how hungry Denver's going to be to lock up the one seed, it could be a long-ish day for Trey Lance. So I'll lay the points and roll with the Broncos.
I think Jonathan Cooper was popping off on Twitter in the middle of the night after they buried the Chiefs for the
was
division.
He?
Yeah.
Okay.
And there were some deleted tweets the next morning.
Okay.
Jonathan Cooper, by the way, one of the best high school players I ever played against. We also got the other side of the division. We got Chiefs and Raiders. Chris Oludokun, you are expected to win this one. The Chiefs are -5.5 in Las Vegas because the Raiders are going for the one.
Is this it for Travis Kelce? His last game in the NFL. You think this is it?
No, I think he might play another.
Okay. I think this is it.
You think so?
I think this is it. I think he's retiring after this year. I would. What else do I got to prove?
How many years did we think Anthony Gonzalez was going to retire?
Probably a lot. You probably said that a lot.
But did he even go and play for the Falcons?
Let me ask you this, though.
I mean, Tony Gonzalez.
Tony Gonzalez, yeah.
Not to be mistaken with Anthony Gonzalez, who played here.
Tony Gonzalez didn't have a $100 million contract waiting for him via podcast either.
Yeah.
When that's on the other side.
Podcast.
$100 million deal from Amazon.
Podcast dollars are a little different.
Huh? I'm good. And I'm already in the top five of tight end, best all-time tight ends and all that stuff. Like,
and then you didn't even mention his
wifey,
retirement, his retirement plan.
You know, wife, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Woman by the name of Taylor Swift.
Yeah,
I think he's done. I'll lay the 5.5 and roll Kansas City.
Yeah,
I'll roll with them. I think they send him off on a good note.
Cards and Rams. Rams are -7.5 at home.
I got to go with the Rams on this one, man. Got to go with the Rams. They need Devontae back soon. They need him back soon because he's been a real good red zone threat, and that chemistry between he and Stafford has been good.
I enjoy Puka Nacua getting more targets, and somebody said, you know, what's it like watching Puka? Like, well, how is he so effective? I said, and not because their names rhyme, but it's like Puka and Luka. It's like Luka can just do things that you can't do, even if it's slow and methodical, and it's just like Puka might not be the fastest receiver in the NFL, But that's his ball, man. Yep. And so you're right. It's been a heavy load on him, and I would like to see Devontae Adams come and relieve some of that. So I'm going Rams.
You and his brother were in the same Ravens locker room for an offseason, right?
Who?
Kai Nakua?
I don't know. Wait, Casey Nakua?
K-A-I.
Man, I'm
not. Call him Casey?
Maybe. Let me see.
It's his middle name.
Casey Nakua?
That's where Casey...
His defensive back. I assume you went up against him.
He was cooking him. You were cooking him, weren't
nah,
you?
Nah, I don't know if I was there.
You got cut on the same day, according to the Ravens website.
Kai Nakua?
Yeah.
Maybe, yeah. Let me see. Oh, you know what? I do remember his brother. Wow, that's his brother.
Yeah.
Didn't know that. Right. I played with that guy. You're right. Yeah.
Look at that.
Yeah, he couldn't guard me. Yeah.
Making friends. Right. He couldn't guard me.
Do real quick the last game.
All right.
Sunday night. Just
Ravens at Steelers. Lamar's playing, and the spread's 3.5. Hasn't changed all week.
Lamar hasn't been, like, balling. And I think he's had some lower extremity injuries. You take away kind of one of his superpowers, and I think it's why you're getting some of the things that you're getting. I just, without DK Metcalf, where's the offense going to come from Pittsburgh? Baltimore's defense is kind of rounded into form here a little bit. So, yeah, I'll lay the 3.5, but I think it's a low-scoring game, Depot. I think Baltimore's going to have to really grind to get this one.
Yeah, definitely a low-scoring game, under 20. I'm going to go, I love Baltimore, and y'all know this, Matty. I'm just going to be rooting for the Steelers, man.
What?
I know.
Why?
Because there's just something about this Steelers team that I feel like...
Because the Ravens cut him.
Well, no, it's not that. It's not that. I don't think this is the Ravens' best year, and I don't want Lamar to get in the playoffs and be judged again. Like, I want to, like, shield him from judgment. So if he loses his game, they don't have enough steam.
They don't have a Super Bowl team.
This is not a Super Bowl team.
I'm not mad at that take.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm not mad at that take.
Okay.
I'm not mad at that take. You're trying to protect our guy. I get it.
Because they're gonna drill him.
They always do.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
They always do. Coming up here in 2 minutes. Hey, we're on to the semifinals of the college football playoff. We're going to talk to Cam Meller about that all next from the Pro Football Network in 2 minutes. It's Rothman and Ice.
Right. The globe needs help. And when you help protect them, you become a friend of the San Diego Zoo Wildlife Alliance.
Thank you for being a friend.
Travel down the road and back again.
Your heart is true. You're a pal and a confidant.
Thank you for helping protect wildlife around the globe. Without you, there's no them. Learn more at sdzwa.org/friend.
Rossman and Ice is sponsored by your local Pella Window and Door showroom on Gemini Parkway.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
True to his name, Matty Ice wears a winter coat in the middle of summer. He lives the gimmick, man. You're listening to Rothman and Ice.
That you are. Welcome back in, folks. Going to light up the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Bring on our guy Cam Meller. Does an awesome job covering college football over at the Pro Football Network. Cam, happy Friday. Happy New Year. What's going on, man?
Oh, happy Friday. I wish I knew what day it was with these fun games in the middle of the week. And, looking forward to some fun NFL games this weekend to sort of change the pace, I guess.
Yeah, no doubt. A couple good ones. Tomorrow, we just got done talking about Pittsburgh and Baltimore. So, yeah, it should be a fun football weekend, that is for sure. Let's go to Miami and Ohio State. Two-parter. Where were you on that matchup prior to the game? And how surprised were you after the game to see how things unfolded?
Prior to the game, I wish I could lie and say I maybe saw what was coming, but I did not. I was firmly in the belief that Ohio State was the second best team in the country and should have handled their business against Miami. But I think it was mainly also against Mario Cristobal and his big game flaws we've seen. And I think that was probably the biggest storyline to me is afterwards we watched not quite a masterclass from Mario Cristobal, but he allowed his players and the best players he had on his roster to do the things they did best. And that was Ruben Bain causing havoc on the defensive side. So Mario Cristobal maybe shaking some demons going forward here.
I always believe in wins and losses are a stat that I judge quarterbacks by, and having a championship under your belt is one guy played at Fair State, Trinidad Chambliss. He's the one quarterback that's left. And you talk about that claw victory, just like I know Carson Beck had a good win. I know Oregon had a good win, and Fernando Mendoza looked like the Heisman. But in terms of like quarterbacks just figuring out and playing good football right now, just scrappy ball. Got to give the Trinidad Chambliss in his week and his performance. Does Ole Miss have enough momentum, and is he the right guy to lead this team?
he's the right guy. And it's crazy to me that we were looking at the start of this year with Austin Simmons being who we thought that guy was. And he, not that he wasn't, but that Jameis is just this much better. And to me, gutsy performance from the quarterback spot. I think if you look at outside of Indiana, the team that needs the most from their quarterback is this Ole Miss roster. They've got sort of the sum of all these pieces on defense, and we saw some of the lapses that they had, credit to Georgia for scoring, but they need their quarterback to make a play more than I think any of these other teams need to, in that are left at least. And I think he's the guy that gives them that edge, that advantage that they will need. I'm not sure if they have enough gas in the tank, though, going forward.
Cam, sticking with the Ole Miss situation right now, what's your understanding of the assistance that will or will not be available for their matchup out there in the desert against the Canes?
Yeah, to me, I mean, we're in unprecedented territory here. It never happened before in this type of situation on this level of football. And so I wish I had answers. I wish I knew what was going to happen. And one thing I have learned, I guess I could say, in the NCAA is never expect the expected to happen, because you know they're going to fly by the seat of their pants here. So I'm interested to see what happens. This not only has ramifications for this season, this week coming up, but also in the future, especially if we expand to 14 teams.
Absolutely. Fernando Mendoza is the one person that stands as the only quarterback to win in a 12-team playoff, you know, first-round bye situation. He got that dub. But outside of that, is this really a big issue for teams? Do we need to look at, hey, this first-round bye might need a home game versus a neutral site? Like, how do you fix this issue?
Yeah, I think you had to play it a little bit earlier. I know it's hard because semester ends and we've got no classes and no one on campus, and I think they would make the game a little bit better, because you'd have home fan bases and you'd truly seek the benefit of being the top four seeds. Because right now it feels like you are actually at more of a disadvantage. If you're a top four seed, sure, you don't have to play an extra game, but is that month off in between? We've always seen it when the national championship was played a month later than, you know, back in the BCS days, those teams were cold and sluggish in the first quarter. And
absolutely,
I think it's tough. I would say maybe play them a little bit earlier, but I honestly don't know what the fix is right away.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, it's just, go ahead, Depot. You want that month in January, just cause like, well, moving it up, it solves a lot of issues too. It's like, there's no dead time for interviews, portal and coaching hires, and obviously people to get, you know, take those blinders off too. And I love Dan Lanning's, you know, idea and that approach, but there are a lot of problems that can pile, even recruiting wise. You throw that into that soup, that makes this, you know, even worse timing for the year. So I'm with you on that,
Cam. I want to go ahead, Cam, sorry.
No, I was going to say it's this time from the end of the season to the portal being open to the national championship. This is the craziest time of the year for college football at that point. And I take it like the NFL does and make it a marquee moment in the offseason for some of these things.
Yeah, definitely hear you on that. Cam Meller from Pro Football Network is joining us here to talk all things college football. We were asked earlier in the show by our producer TLC, Cam, over under for Kalen DeBoer as far as years remaining at Alabama at 1.5. I took the over. Where would you stand on that?
I go under. If you look back now at how poorly they performed in the history of this illustrious program in their playoffs, to have the largest playoff or postseason game defeat in a game that actually mattered, not a bowl game, that stinks on his record. That sticks to his record. And his inability, I think, to recruit the South that we're looking at right now, maybe with the sum of those parts coming together, I believe he was on the hot seat after the FSU loss, and I don't think that's going to get any cooler now after this this offseason.
Yeah, I agree with you. this coaching carousel this year, historic year in buyouts. So that means a lot of universities going into the season, from our perspective, media-wise, we heated up a lot of guys on hot seats. And then you look and you say, a lot of schools just went away and said, let's go in this direction. Do you think next year we're going to see that trend? Will it be as many vacancies just for guys who stay parked, like Shea Clark and, you know, and Kyle Winningham? Or do you think next year will be a more stable year?
I'd like to think it's going to be stable, but I think at this point, if we saw what happened with, you know, ousting James Franklin mid-year and then them not having something in plan in line at Penn State, and I mean, Florida State, even my alma mater, not firing Mike Norvell. And I think it's, you know, if you read between the lines, there wasn't a candidate that they wanted. And so yeah. I think at this point we might get more stability just because there isn't going to be one of those hot coaching hot commodities on the coaching market unless we see something. But, you know, it's NCAA football, and so expect the unexpected.
Cam, I want to put you in Lane Kiffin's shoes right now. And here's what I want to do. I'm going to take Trinidad Chambliss off the board because maybe that's the guy he really wants to be his quarterback to start down there in Baton Rouge. When you look at the quarterbacks that are in the portal, if you were Lane Kiffin, which guy would you want to start your tenure down there as the LSU leader of the ship now?
Brandon Sorsby. I think if you look at it, what he was able to produce at Cincinnati in that offense, it's not quite a similar offense, but there are a lot of similar schematic elements to that offense that they run in Cincinnati that he wants to run and put on the field. And so I think if you look at his athletic ability, that sort of pits to what Lane Kiffin wants to have at his quarterback, and he's a cerebral kind of guy with a lot of experience. So usher in that first year of the Lane Kiffin era with a guy like Sorsby with that experience, that athletic profile.
Wow, I like that. Yeah, caught me off guard with that one.
Yeah, that's an interesting one because he was an Indiana guy, right, Cam?
Yeah, he was a Hoosier, yeah.
Yeah, Hoosier, and then one year with Sat down there in Cincinnati. And so to me, I think that experience and his ability to play at a high level, I mean, he kept Cincinnati with probably the worst offensive line source he's ever played in front of or behind right now this past season. They were terrible on the offensive line. And so for him to do what he did this year, that speaks volumes to his ability.
Is the hire of Kyle Whittingham up in Ann Arbor a single, double, triple, or home run in your mind?
If it was 5 or 6 years ago, I'd say it's a home run. Right now, it's a triple until we see what he can do. What I will say probably, it scores him from third, his hires that he's made as his OC in DC. So I think that really tips the scales for me with it's probably the best coaching staff that we've seen since maybe an Ohio State coaching staff, but best coaching staff we've seen a long time up in Ann Arbor with him and the guys he's brought in. I love Whittingham and what he's been able to do. It's old school football, and I think it bodes well to what they want to represent at Michigan.
You think Bryce Underwood's a good fit within that offense?
It's tough to say. I think he can make it work with his skill set. Maybe trust his arm a little bit more than we've seen Michigan do in the past 13 games, even including the Cheez-It Bowl. So I don't know if he's the long-term fit for him, but I think that they can make it won't be quite like fitting a square peg into a round hole.
We'll get you out of here on this one, looking around the corner to the semifinals, the Peach Bowl, Oregon, Indiana, two Big Ten teams going at it. Indiana gets it done in Eugene earlier this season. Now looking at these two teams coming out of the quarterfinals, how are you feeling about this semifinals matchup?
It's really hard to doubt Kurt Zagetti at this point. And I know Oregon's got the blueprint to beat him, and they're going to have a Brandon Finney game like he just had, and then they're going to have Jaden Candley and the other defensive backs play like that as well. I don't know if they get it done against Indiana, though.
It's good stuff. He's Cam Mellor. Make sure you go follow him on Twitter, at Cam Mellor, M-E-L-L-O-R. Does some really good stuff over at the Pro Football Network. Cam, as always, we appreciate your time. Happy holidays. Happy New Year. We'll talk to you soon.
Same to you, buddy. Thanks, Lois.
Appreciate it. Cam joined us via the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. We'll hit the finish line of the show in week next. We'll tell the truth. It's Rothman and Ice right here on The Fan.
All the 10 TV people come over to our side of the building to take a deuce. That should tell you something about how we operate. The Fan.
A thing or two about the moments in life that matter. You've seized those moments to embrace joy, accomplish great things, and build meaningful relationships. Is it time now to sit back and reflect on a life well lived? Maybe. Or maybe there's more to be done. Maybe this is the most important moment you've encountered yet. By volunteering with AmeriCorps Seniors, you can seize the moment, lend a hand, and get back more than you give. We connect you to local volunteer organizations with opportunities that fit your schedule and match your interests. Through AmeriCorps Seniors, you can support people in times of need and make your community stronger. You can become a companion to your older neighbors, brightening their days with friendship. You can even become a mentor for young people, serving as a role model and enriching their lives. Are you ready to seize your moment? Visit AmeriCorps.gov/yourmoment and get started today.
Yo, I'm your old basketball. Haven't seen you out on the courts in a while. Why not pass me over to Goodwill? Donating Me helps Goodwill's mission to provide career training and support services right here in the community. And that's a slam dunk. Donate today. Hey, I got next.
To find your nearest Goodwill locations and to learn more about our mission, please visit goodwill.org. Goodwill, where your things start new lives.
If you're a coach, do you ever feel overwhelmed supporting kids' mental health?
Teachers need tons of help.
I had never experienced
players being so down that they can't even participate.
It's so important that we are constantly educating ourselves.
It's the same as the CPR class to me. We're trying to save a life here.
The Kids Mental Health Foundation has free tools and information developed by experts. Scan the QR code or check out kidsmentalhealthfoundation.org to get started.
Bishop and Friends.
I have to acknowledge that I definitely had a mullet in middle school. Full stop. Had one. It was in.
Bishop and Friends, sponsored by Diamond Seller.
Weekdays from 9 to noon on The Fan.
All your favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Tell the truth with Rothman and Ice.
Sponsored by Window Nation. Right now, get 50% off all window styles from Window Nation at windownation.com.
All right, TLC, take us to the crib. What do you got cooked up? And tell the truth on this wonderful Friday.
All right, first of all, yeah. We got to lock this in. We locked in my half yesterday. If the Ravens beat the Steelers, my microphone is turned off for all of next week.
Yeah.
All of next week. That was set yesterday.
Okay.
We are doing the I write the updates for you coming out of every segment for a day. For maybe two days. Because Ooh. If we have guests on, like if Adam Schefter's coming on, I'm not going to make
him
it,
wait.
Like,
yeah.
I'm not going to make him sit there and listen to you for an update where like you're screwing around talking about stuff that has nothing to do with anything. So
what happens if the Steelers win?
If the Steelers, this is what I'm doing. He has to do an update coming out of every single commercial break that I give him. I script the update for him. He's got to read what's on the paper.
That could be anything.
I'm Matty Ice.
It could be anything.
Update. And
it could be anything.
Here is TLC's brain at work.
Matty Ice.
For the next minute.
Okay.
I wear Uggs with no socks.
That's nasty work if you do that. Do not do that, folks. Please do not wear Uggs with no socks. I'm in. And of course, Monday's show is a 3-hour show.
Yep.
So that works in your favor, too.
That's actually, yeah.
Because, programming note, the Diebler show, Coach Diebler show, will get moved to Wednesday of next week. So,
there you
we'll
go.
Shake hands through the glass right here.
Shaking hands through the glass.
Depot is a witness. Everybody on YouTube in the chat is a witness. There's the bet. It took us all a whole week to figure out.
So here's the, we can clarify anything after the fact, but while the music is playing, while you are doing the update, you got to commit.
That's a dangerous game.
Right?
That part
commit.
Right there, clarify anything after.
And yet,
it's a dangerous game,
well,
man.
Well, I mean, because not everybody's listening throughout the week, so they may be like, why did Matty Ice just say that?
I know how your brain works, and that's going to be some real spicy stuff in those updates. Okay, there it is.
That'd be fun.
We got to figure it out.
I want the Steelers to win so badly. Ice, someone in the YouTube chat was asking about your hoodie.
Oh, yeah. So this hoodie right here, if you've ever seen the movie Friday, right? Big Worm.
Is that
right?
The damn
big
one?
Big Worm, you know, one of the characters from Friday.
Yeah, that was in that movie, too.
Yeah.
Good reference.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Thank you. Yes. That right there. That's
Ice what Cube and Chris Tucker?
Yes.
Big Worm.
Big Worm. So Big Worm is the guy who Chris Tucker owed money to his ice cream truck.
Yep. So there you go. That's what this is.
There you go.
A little Friday reference on a Friday. You see what I'm saying? So, yeah. What we got going on today?
And then somebody else, we were talking about the All-Star games and like which sports have them, which ones don't, which ones do we need to get rid of. Somebody mentioned the Senior Bowl, which
That's different to me because that's guys building stock. Like, that matters.
The Senior Bowl isn't about the game. It's like,
there you go.
In the hotel.
Yeah.
Well, I think the Seahawks or the Eagles, they brought their whole staff to the Senior Bowl and like got all of their combine work done for all of the upperclassmen at the Senior Bowl.
Oh, wow.
So you're like, and if you're a guy that's like
smart.
Like if you're like a team or a GM that has the John Gruden mindset of like, I only draft senior quarterbacks.
Yeah.
The Senior Bowl is where you get to see them. NFL coaches coaching them. You're seeing how they're responding. Seeing like them on field practice. It's almost more informal than the combine, than any other pre-combine event because it's real football.
So TLC, were they saying like the game needs to go away or the process?
No, they were just saying like, well, the college still has a Senior Bowl. But anyway, the reason that I wanted to bring this up is because, of course, my first question is, did Devere play in the Senior Bowl?
Yeah, I did.
I looked it up. Would you like? Do you have any memories of that?
Because no, I was reading some. I don't want to talk about my stats in that game.
I was reading some of the reviews. They were kind of harsh.
It was a game, man. It was one of those games where I feel like you're rotating with like a whole set of we had three quarterbacks. We had Russell Wilson, Kirk Cousins, and Kellen Moore. Head coach Kellen Moore.
Yeah.
And Saints, and I think you would develop a rhythm with like two of those guys, but one guy you wouldn't get. And it was just a week where.
So who'd you like and who did you not like?
Man, Russell Wilson threw a different ball than Kirk Cousins, and Kellen Moore is left-handed.
Yeah, yeah. Because I think maybe what you're speaking to is some of the lack of chemistry, if you will, if you want to buy into that, for Will Howard at the combine. Remember how ugly of a performance that was? And that's kind of been a thing where you don't know these guys, right?
Senior Bowl is different, man, because it's real football, too, and like you're wearing real pads. But, I mean, I feel like, hey, look, I'm winning my one-on-ones. I had a good week of practice. The game wasn't the best, but I was killing practice. Yeah, so.
I just typed in, this was a couple of segments ago.
There you go.
I typed in Devere Posey Senior Bowl and just clicked on the first link. The first review.
The age of disclosure. Here we go.
Is of Kirk. The first review is of Kirk Cousins. It says, Kirk Cousins was statistically. Holy cow. Kirk Cousins was statistically guilty of an interception in the Senior Bowl, but that wasn't his worst throw because Devere Posey stopped his route.
Okay.
Exactly. Yeah, okay. What's next, TLC?
He's thrown a lot of picks since then. I've been stopped routes, so that ain't me.
Talk about it. Talk about it.
I'm not going to get into a knockdown drag out over this. I'm not. But.
Which means you want to.
No. I just want to put it out there. So Tony Rizzo, who we played before, he's on ESPN Cleveland up there.
92.3, right? Or yeah.
No.
ESPN Cleveland. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Competing stations.
Yep.
But he had a thought about the Browns involving a coach who I'm a fan of. Maybe not everybody else is, but I am.
You know who I want to coach the Browns? I'd take Kurt Cignetti right now. What a culture changer. Here's what you need for the next Browns coach. Number one, ass kicker. Passive Stefanski didn't work. Number two, proven winner. Done. Number three, culture changer. If that guy wins a national championship with Indiana, I'll go to Indiana and pick his ass up.
It's like you. It's like Maddie.
I came
to your house, man. Your house is really clean.
Yeah.
Do you want to come over to my house and clean?
No. You want to wait for the crib to be a little clean before you come. Is that what the Browns got? It's too much of a mess up there.
He didn't say Cignetti wanted them. He's just saying he wanted Cignetti.
You see what I'm saying? It's like, what do you like? You got a lot of stuff on your plate. I get what you're saying.
I don't
want to come over there and clean, man.
I don't think he's leaving Indiana right now.
Yeah, I've already cleaned this up. Yeah, I'm here.
I think what he's building is something really, really strong.
Yeah.
Now, if they win a natty this year.
Best coach in college football.
Well, a rebuilding coach is good until it's too much to rebuild. And, like, if there was one franchise that is just a mountain of years.
The quarterback's not there. I don't think you make that leap unless the quarterback is there. Now, they have the picks. Don't look like they're going to get the first or second pick. And Dante Moore may not even come out this year.
How do you guys know that Kurt Cignetti likes all these crappy situations? He just could be good with what he was given.
Correct. So, he's doing an unbelievable job. I think he's going to be at Indiana for at least a couple more years. He doesn't feel like an NFL guy to me. He doesn't feel that way.
I kind of get an NFL feel from him.
Do you think he can get it done there? Okay.
I think he's like a timeless football coach that his personality will do well in both.
See, I think his personality would piss off players. I think that would wear thin over time.
The first thing he said was the Browns need an ass kicker. That's not what NFL players want.
Yeah, I don't like that. You tell us, Depot, real quick. We got 30 seconds.
He's not the Chip Kelly type of going in and clashing with the players and trying to put in a system. He's more Nick Saban type, who's going back and forth, and that's who he's built it off of. So I think he has a mature type of coaching approach.
Did he recruit you?
Who?
Cignetti.
Nah, I don't remember him.
He was the wide receiver coach at the time at Bama.
They had a guy named Julio Jones committed in my year, so they were probably good.
Oh, man.
So they were probably good.
Yeah. Hey, Depot, appreciate you as always. TLC, great job on the board.
Thank you.
You missed anything, folks, you can always catch up wherever you get your podcast. All you got to do is type in Rothman and Ice. Coming up next, Common Man and Timmy, it's Go to Jail Thursday. Jeff Rimmer joins at... Let's go to jail Friday, not Thursday.
Hello.
Jeff Rimmer joins at 5:30. He reveals the name of his book. We love you. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you Monday at Rothman and Ice right here on The Fan.
1, 2, 3. Here at The Fan is always football o'clock. Proud to be your home of the Buckeyes, Browns, and all the NFL games you can handle. The Fan.